much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
This is really incredible. I mean, what a collection of people. Here in one room, we have members of the media, politicians, corporate executives, advertisers, lobbyists, and celebrities. Everything that is wrong with America is here in this room tonight.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Woo! Conquers, we have problems too. We're just like you, except we're hot, hot, hot.
The lady has foolishly attempted to join the conversation with a wild and dangerous opinion of her own.
Is it still rape? Is he a surprise?
Maybe you're not used to office environments like this, but jokes about rape, or race, or incest, or any of that kind of stuff. It's not office okay.
I look at rape the same way I look at HIV. If you play guard for the Lakers, it won't affect you.
And now,
they used to say that kind of thing about Jesus, too.
Our feature presentation.
Wow. Coming on with that intro.
Yeah, nicely done.
Thank you.
Nicely done.
Hey, who's... Where do you
I stand?
Can't,
where do I stand?
You can't just let people in off the street, Lisa.
There was a space open, and he God looked rest lonely.
Isn't there and a
said,
door?
Come on in. We've got something you could do.
There's zero security, Bean. You know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's true.
Jeez, I just can't believe it. Just anyone can walk in and get behind the mic. It's just crazy.
I said, you know what? That's a nice piece of meat. Let's see what he can do.
That's right. That is what she said.
In other words, you just want him around the office so you can look at him, regardless
Absolutely.
Of whether he can. I see. I gotcha.
So be nice to my boy.
Hey, party people. It is Monday. That is the return of the monkey back from almost literally the dead. Tell us about it.
Oh, you don't want to know about it.
Liquid.
You really don't. Liquid from every orifice. And I think I sprouted a couple of new ones. I think I have a couple of new orifice. Orify. Is that what plural
is? Yes, I think orify is the word.
How much of a fever did you have at one point?
103.1.
Now, isn't that like get me to the hospital and hope I don't die time?
I went to the hospital, but I don't think it's die time.
It's just fry your brain time.
Well, come on. I'm safe.
He could go to 106, he'd be fine.
That's been fried.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever had a fever that high. That seems scary. That seems beyond safe to me.
It's not good, if that's what you're saying. And that was midweek. That wasn't even like early in the week.
How long were you there in the hospital?
Oh, just, you know, they give you IVs and then they say go home, sleep. They don't want you there.
Was hanging over heaven?
IVs, I mean, emergency rooms, they just don't want you there.
No, they don't.
I know it takes forever to see you, but when they see you, they just go, okay, that's fine, get out. So it was a rough week.
You sleep a lot?
Yes, and was still miserable beyond words. Mm. Everywhere I went, doesn't matter where I went, I would walk around the house, my underwear. Doesn't matter where I was, just it was terrible. But
I
anyway.
Bet you got pretty bored with being at home.
Oh, it was the worst. And I watched every TV show I ever thought of, and that didn't help. And then I would just lay there, and then I would just be miserable. I'm glad to be back to work. How about that?
Wow. I'm
excited you'll finally be able to join in on the Mad Men conversations. And obviously, you went back and watched all of those, right?
That show is really not watched by me.
Even though you were desperate, you had nothing but time, you still wouldn't watch maybe the best show on television.
No, you know what I did? I watched the season opener.
Yes.
And it was a little slow. For me, because I didn't
right.
know all the backstory. So I was just like, forget it.
Well,
at least
good decision.
He gave it a try.
I gave it a try.
All right. Well, I'm going to start with two stories that I think you guys are going to love this morning. These are actual real life excuses. And you tell me if either of these excuses would hold water with you if you were the police officer involved. Okay.
Right.
Here's a suspect who allegedly fled the scene of an accident. He says to avoid having another one. He told police that he had to get to a toilet. He had the runs.
Oh,
he had to go.
Please.
You don't believe him?
No. Well, I mean,
based
maybe.
On what?
Well, maybe. I mean, maybe, but it's still the cop has to give him a ticket, right?
Well, yeah, and they did. But, I mean, is that a legitimate reason if you're this guy, Bernard Cato, talking to the Gainesville Sun, if you're this guy, you get in an accident, and yeah, you need to stay for the police, but you don't understand you're about to crap yourself.
An accident.
Yes.
Hmm.
That's what I said. It fled the scene of an accident.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know.
He went to the Walmart because he had to poop.
here's what I do know. I wouldn't tell anyone that.
Really? Because I think that'd be about the only thing. That's the only thing you could say, I think, that would get some sympathy from me if I were a police officer. Because that, to me, sounds legitimate. Look, everyone's been there. Everyone's had the fear, you know?
Sure. Right.
And what's he supposed to do at the scene of an accident waiting for a police officer? What would you do in that situation?
Did they go to the Walmart and give him another ticket for destroying that place?
I mean, if your choices are to stand there and wait for the cop and have that happen, or to leave and go, you know, take care of business, what do you do?
Well, do you think he left him his license and information and then left?
Doesn't say.
That'd be
doesn't
fine.
Say.
But
yeah, that's a really good point.
That's what you kind of have to do if you're going right. to be responsible.
Then they all give right. you a ticket for driving without a license.
Well, yeah.
It just goes bad, bad, bad.
All right, that's thing one. Thing two, Naperville, Illinois. This is Zachary Ramirez, 21 years old. Pulled over by a patrol officer. He was going 111 miles an hour. Speed limit posted was 45.
Oh. All right.
He said he was in a hurry because he was going to have sex with his girlfriend.
That's a good reason.
She had called him and said, now. And that's what he was going
for. If I were the cop, I'd need to see a photo. Like,
and,
some girls are worth 111.
Oh, I see. Yeah. If she was hot enough, right. you'd let him go for 111.
Right.
So.
If she wasn't hot enough, then you write the ticket.
It didn't fly. He did get a ticket for speeding 20 miles over the limit. You know, they're lucky they gave it to him for 20 instead
kidding.
Of 65.
Oh, God.
But that was his real life excuse. Is he had a date with his girlfriend to have sex. She had called him.
Oh,
so what are you going to do?
That's so funny. 111.
Being a police officer, you hear it all, don't you?
I imagine. I imagine you do. Every single attempt that's possible, including all the the much lamer ones.
Yeah.
Right.
So, all right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amin Show. You tell us, B.
I'm not sure I'm interested in that. No, I am sure. I am not interested in that.
We haven't done it yet.
How about details on Top Gun 2? Which apparently is on the fast track and is going to be coming out within like a year and a half now, they're
okay.
saying. With Tom Cruise on board. What about that?
Top Gun 2.
What's your level of interest in seeing a sequel to Top Gun?
Well, zero. Absolutely zero. But they could make a good movie about fighter pilots. I mean,
right.
I don't know that it could possibly be as gay as the first one, but.
I'm sure they'll go out of the way to make sure that it's not.
All that naked volleyball.
Justin Bieber, doing an interview on one of the stations in Britain, was asked, who's Jerry? And it was revealed that Jerry is the nickname that his fans have given his penis. I don't know why.
His
he doesn't know why.
Fans have given it.
He has no idea why they decided his penis's name is Jerry, but everyone thinks it's fairly amusing. And it occurred to me, it's been a long time since we've done names for your genitals. So we're going to take your calls
Jerry.
Today.
That's a strange
Jerry.
Name.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, doesn't the nickname for your junk usually have some type of double entendre or something?
Right, like me with the octagon. Exactly, yeah. Weenie Roast tickets today in the pit. Mm-hmm. We'll hook you up with those. Petros Papadakis is coming in. Great timing to have the P on with round one of the NBA playoffs starting this weekend. And you can decide whether you'd rather be a Lakers fan and have an incredibly boring game that you win because you're leading wire to wire, or you want to be the Clippers and come back from, what was it, 27
yeah.
points and win that game
yeah.
at the end? Unbelievable. So both basketball teams have happy fans today. We'll catch up with P and also
as
talk a little bit about the NFL draft.
As do the hockey fans, and P knows yes. nothing about hockey.
That's fine.
Which is unacceptable.
That's not why he's coming in.
All right.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the show today, and a new Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, too. All coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. That's next here on K-Rock.
Playing that, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's just for you, buddy. Welcome back. 552, this is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. What's going on?
I'm not sure how much of a change in the music you wanted in a week.
I'm
still playing that. Actually, we're fond of Sublime now. We're actually playing some Sublime now.
Yeah. Red Hot Chili Peppers have added them to the playlist.
Right. A little bit of Chili Peppers, yeah. So we're getting it done. Hey, win your tickets in the pit for Saturday's K-Rock Weenie Roast E Fiesta. We'll tell you how coming up in a few minutes. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat now for a Monday. Good morning, Ralph.
That's for Saturdays. Are we giving away tickets for Sundays, too?
Not yet.
That'll be later on in the week?
Yeah.
All right, just want to make sure. Because you don't want to miss out. Sunday show, I think, is even a better lineup than Saturday.
That's what a lot of people are saying.
Yeah, so keep that in mind. Maybe time for us to do our call-in topic of romantic revenge maybe sometime this week.
That is endless.
As I look at this story before I get to showbiz news. It is endless, and it is spectacular sometimes. Like in Poland, for example, where dentist Anna Makowiak, she just got in trouble with the cops because her ex-boyfriend showed up at her office with a toothache.
What an idiot.
He dumped her, his dentist girlfriend, for another woman. She put him under heavy anesthetic and then yanked out all of his teeth.
Oh, that's on him.
All of his teeth.
I mean, that's absurd by her, but that's his ex that he dumped and left for another girl. You don't go back to get teeth worked
out. He said, I thought she would be professional.
Is that how he said it?
No, he said, I'm going to be professional. I didn't have any reason to doubt her. I thought she was a professional.
Wow.
Wrong. She claims, I saw him lying there and I thought, what a bastard. And then she just got the urge to yank out all of his teeth.
Oh,
he woke
that's
up.
Work too.
That's a lot of work.
With his jaws just strapped with bandages. She said, yeah, there's been some complications. You need to go see a specialist.
Did she give him his teeth or did she toss them?
No word here on what happened to the teeth. But
where's
now
the outrage there?
He's under the process of getting implants. Now he needs dental implants.
Oh.
Tops and bottoms.
God.
By the way, his new girlfriend left him because she didn't think she could be with a man with no teeth. So it was a happy ending.
Well played.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Monday morning means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Number one again this weekend, Think Like a Man. Steve Harvey's Think Like a Man. You can act like a woman, Kevin, but you better think like a man. Snap.
Wow, I can't imagine going to see that movie.
Only made $18 million this weekend, but it was a lackluster weekend, so that was good enough to make it number one. Pirates, Band of Misfits, the new animated comedy, was $11.4 million at the box office. That made it number two. The Lucky One, Zac Efron's romantic film about war and photographs, was number three at the box office with $11.3 million. Then The Hunger Games and Five-Year Engagement in its debut weekend just made $11 million. That made it number five.
Wow. Well,
Lisa?
I saw it, and
yeah, I know you
really
did.
Liked it.
You were very
it.
Excited to go see it.
I really, really enjoyed it.
That's great.
Okay, but
and I brought a boy. My boyfriend came,
uh-huh.
And he enjoyed it as well. Not as much as I did.
Yeah, he has to say that.
And he wanted me to tell you he then went out and chopped a cord of wood.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, right. To balance his
and then
life.
You pulled all his teeth out.
He lied.
Yeah.
Was it any good, though? I know you enjoyed it, but was it good, or is this one of those movies that you go, well, it was terrible, but I liked it?
No, it wasn't a terrible movie at all. I tell you guys, you know that.
That's what I asked.
Other people beg to differ. That's all I know. Safe was sixth. The Raven, the Edgar Allan Poe mystery, was number seven at the box office with $7.2 million. Chimpanzee was number eight. The Three Stooges, and then Cabin in the Woods, rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend. Big weekend for the Avengers. Hasn't even opened in North America yet. But in the UK and in Australia, it's made over $178 million so far.
How come they get to see it first?
Yeah, I know.
What
stupid
the hell?
Foreigners.
Is that Captain America?
Yes. Hello. We invented those heroes. Can we see them, please? Thank you. Oh, wait a minute. I already saw them. It's awesome. Congratulations to reality stars Sam Puey and Stephanie Anderson. They got married this weekend up in San Francisco. You may know them if you're a fan of the show The Biggest Loser. They met on the ninth season of The Biggest Loser. Now, Stephanie's a pal because she used to work here at our radio station.
What?
Really?
Yeah, she used to work in sales. Then she went to The Biggest Loser and met Sam, and they got married this weekend. They had another story. It was in the press a lot because he fell off a four-story building last year. Almost died.
Oh, my God.
That's not the kind of press you want to be in.
Surgery and therapy brought him back, and so they were very happy to be able to walk down the aisle together this weekend. So congratulations to those guys.
Are they both keeping the weight off?
Yeah, they both look great.
Nice. Nice story.
It is a nice story. So is this one. Patrick Dempsey. He's not just a doctor on television.
Don't say it.
He's also saving lives in the streets, Kevin.
Don't say it.
Dr. McSweaty or whatever he is on that show.
I think
McDreamy.
That's right.
No. He was minding his own business at home, and along comes a 17-year-old kid named Weston Massett who flips his Mustang outside his house in Malibu.
What's a fake doctor to do?
He springs into action. That's
of
what
course.
He's to do.
Of course he'd do.
You, lazy bum, would probably just call 911.
If not, that.
Not McDrippy. He leapt off his couch, grabbed a crowbar, pried the door open, and pulled Weston from the wreckage.
Or watched while someone else did that.
No, sir. That's what he did. By the way, horrible idea. Don't ever do that, because if the guy's got a broken neck or spine, you just killed him.
Right.
Didn't he learn anything on the set of Grey's Anatomy? Doesn't he read those scripts in the ER where they say, don't move him?
Now, let me ask you about this, Ralph, because I don't know very many particulars about this story, but okay. What if it's a situation where you believe that there's a likelihood that the car will blow up?
It doesn't say
like
there was
gasoline
any flames
dripping
or anything
and things
like that.
I mean, because I would think then you just have to kind of err on the side of, well, I know he's going to die if I don't pull him out.
Right. Yeah,
it does not mention that in this particular
version. So we don't know for sure yet if he killed him.
Well, we do know because
he paralyzed him.
He pulled him out. There was they airlifted him to a hospital. He followed in his car, Dempsey, to the hospital to make sure the kid was all right. Called his mom, talked his mom off the ledge, broke the news to mom.
Right.
Oh my God.
Stayed with the family for a week.
No, he didn't. But apparently, the kid is fine.
Giving the grandma tea.
Just a concussion and a stretched optic nerve. I don't know how you stretch your optic nerve.
I don't either.
The passenger, by the way, had no injuries whatsoever. He was fine. He was wearing a seatbelt. So all's that well that ends well. But Patrick Dempsey coming to the aid of a young man who had flipped his car.
You're not wrong. You just maybe less than right.
Weston
right
said
to me.
When he came to, as he was being pulled from the car, he looked up and saw Patrick Dempsey. And he said, first words of his mother, are you famous? To which Patrick Dempsey replied, I'm a doctor.
I like it.
So there you go. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, I got good Chloe Lamar news. Oh, we'll just wait. We'll wait till next. All right. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Cloris Leachman. She's 86 years old today. Do you hate her too, Kevin, because she's old and she says funny things?
Of course he does.
I don't think she says funny things.
Oh, okay.
So I'm fine with her.
You don't watch that Raising Hope?
No.
She's funny on that Raising Hope. She's very funny. She's an old person, but she's got like the Alzheimer's. She's got dementia, so she's crazy. So she says wacky things.
I've never seen that once.
Very funny. Willie Nelson, 79 years old today.
Oh, he's the best.
He the best.
Doesn't, even if you don't like country music, and I know you guys don't, you appreciate the greatness of Willie Nelson, right?
I like Willie Nelson's music. I don't like country music, but I enjoy his music.
I don't like his music either, but I like the fact that he smokes a lot of weed. Enough for like 10 people.
Adrian Pasdar, very talented actor, is 47 years old today. Chris Henderson from Three Doors Down is 41 years old. Akon celebrates his 39th birthday. Johnny Galecki from The Big Bang Theory, he's 37 years old. Kirsten Dunst celebrates her 30th birthday. And Diana Agron of Glee is 26 years old. She's got to graduate, doesn't she, at 26?
At some point.
That's old for high school. Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our old friend Jimmy Kimmel, former sports guy of the Kevin Bean Show, tweeted last night, "Last night I was roasting the President of the United States. Tonight I'm roasting a chicken." Put a photo of his dinner. Jimmy was hanging out with the president and every famous person in the world at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. If you missed his performance, because maybe you're not like me and we're at home on a Saturday night watching C-SPAN, we do have highlights of Jimmy's remarks coming up in about 15 minutes. And as usual, he was very funny.
I'd be willing to bet you're the only one that was doing that.
I don't know. It's kind of a big show. People
enjoy C-SPAN.
It. That's where I watched it. Mm-hmm. Hey, anyone ready for Top Gun 2? Looks like it's happening.
Yeah! All right!
Top Gun came out when? Early, mid-80s? Something
70s?
Like that?
1971.
I think it's the
81.
80s. It's been a long, long time. I do know that. But apparently, according to the president of Paramount Pictures, Adam Goodman, he told The Hollywood Reporter that we're making a Top Gun sequel. We're likely to make a Top Gun sequel with Tom Cruise. Before the next Mission Impossible gets made, Jerry Bruckheimer would produce and Tony Scott will return to direct. And we thought a lot of people are going to be excited about this. Top Gun is one of those movies that everybody seems to still love today. So we wanted to find out more details about the sequel. And we have the great Tom Cruise on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tom.
I love my wife.
Okay, no one asked.
No one was questioning your sexuality today.
Don't be clear.
Whoa, what's going on? Where are you, Tom?
I'm on the flight deck of an aircraft carrier. Doing some research for Top Gun 2.
Wow, you're already starting. I didn't even think they had a script or anything yet.
They're not, but I just want to do some research to get back in my role of Maverick.
Okay.
Maverick,
I just love hanging out with the guys from the Navy. I love seamen.
Guys in the Navy, right.
Yeah, that's what they call the guys in the Navy are seamen.
Seamen, right, exactly, yeah. All right, so you're going to be back now. Maverick's got to be pretty old to be a fighter pilot. Are you a teacher now in the new movie or what?
In the new what?
It's a new movie.
Oh, okay. I'm going to be playing an instructor. Yeah, I'll be working at the Top Gun instruction facility.
Okay.
Other young pilots how to be the best that they can be.
Now, I don't remember much about the plot. There was you and you had the other dude, the
Goose.
Iceman? Goose?
Iceman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel the need The Need for Speed.
I forgot about that line, sure.
That's right. Yeah.
That was famous, yeah.
I love women.
Right, no one asked.
Okay.
Who else from the old gang is still alive and will be coming back for the sequel?
Kelly McGillis is now a lesbian.
Right.
She played my love interest in the film.
She did, right.
Can you believe a big movie star like that is actually secretly a homosexual?
No. That is odd.
Who would believe that? Don't be glib.
We didn't say anything. You said it.
Kevin.
Can you interrupt me when you were talking?
Kevin.
Yes.
Kev.
Yes.
Don't be glib.
Okay.
The first Top Gun had a lot of big stars in it. Tim Robbins was in the movie, Meg Ryan, of course Adrian Pasdar was in the film, Anthony Edwards, Tom Skerritt, Val Kilmer. Who do you have in mind for the sequel?
I'd like to bring Anthony Edwards back.
Isn't he the one who played Goose who died, though?
He's the guy that died.
Yeah, the ghost of Goose.
The ghost of Goose.
The ghost of Goose.
Goose Ghost.
Okay.
I like that idea. Goose Ghost.
All right.
Top Gun 2, Goose Ghost. And he comes back and he teaches me important things and teaches me an important lesson about life.
Now this
and
is...
only I can see him.
Only you can see him.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
You're not writing it, are you?
No. They have a guy coming in to write that.
All right, good.
But I think my idea is better. Goose Ghost.
Now, the quote is that it's going to be the same kind of tone as the other one and shoot it in the same way that the other one was shot.
Yeah,
it seems like...
gay.
Yeah. Let's talk about the volleyball scene. Is that still in?
Where yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to have a big chunk of the film is going to be another volleyball scene.
Slow motion volleyball where you rub lotion on each other?
Kevin. Yes, Tom.
What now?
What? What, Tom? Tom!
We've lost him.
Come on.
Don't be glib. That wasn't the case. We were just guys hanging out together.
But it was
playing with the boys.
Yeah, that was the song, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were just playing some volleyball. Just healthy sports activities for heterosexual men.
Right. But
I love my wife.
But you were rubbing lotion on each other.
We're just sweaty playing volleyball in the sun.
Slow motion.
And the ladies loved us.
Yeah.
So did the seamen.
I'm
Navy
sorry?
Guys.
Navy guys.
Right.
So you guys going to come see Top Gun 2? You guys can be my wingman anytime.
Oh, man, really? Seriously?
I love being rich.
Okay.
Saturday night was the White House Correspondents' Dinner at the Hilton Hotel in Washington. This is basically it's the one night a year where the journalists and the politicians and their celebrity friends come together. As Jimmy Kimmel, who is the featured entertainer this year, put it, hear it for yourself.
This is really incredible. I mean, what a collection of people. Here in one room we have members of the media, politicians, corporate executives, advertisers, lobbyists, and celebrities. Everything that is wrong with America is here in this room tonight.
That about says it. It's a weird event, too, because it's the only party, for instance, that Lindsay Lohan is at, and so is Colin Powell. I mean, that's the, you know,
what?
Everybody's just rubbing shoulders with each other.
So they make fun of each other? Is that what happens? Like the president makes fun of them, they make fun of him?
Exactly.
Okay.
That's exactly what happens. And Jimmy Kimmel is just the latest in a long line of celebrities who headline this event. I mean, going back decades and decades, I mean, people like Frank Sinatra and Bob Hope have done this. But, you know, more recently, people like Seth Meyers, for instance, and Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart have done it, too. Jimmy was great, though. Here's how he came on.
Well, thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, Mr. President, salam. It was wonderful to be here. They told me this would be a very high-profile event with some of the most powerful people in the world. They did not tell me I'd be looking directly into Sofia Vergara's cleavage. Sofia is from Colombia. This is what women look like in Colombia. What do you expect the Secret Service to do? Mr. President, I know you won't be able to laugh at any of my jokes about the Secret Service, so cover your ears if that's physically possible. But it's an honor to be here. You know, you told me when I was a kid that I would be sitting on the same dais with President Barack Obama. I would have said, the president's name is Barack Obama? Mr. President, you remember when the country rallied around you in hopes of a better tomorrow? That was hilarious.
That was probably the line of the night, by the way. Made every single newscast. Of course, you know, Jimmy made reference to a lot of things that have been going on in the campaign. Have you been following the dog gate that's going on this year between the president and Mitt Romney?
No.
Yeah.
I think we talked about it a little bit, but it turned out that Mitt Romney once put his dog in a kennel on the top of his car for a long, long trip, like a several hundred mile trip. He drove around with his dog on the top of the car. And then it was revealed in President Obama's, one of his biographies, that he, as a small poor child in Indonesia, ate dog. So they've kind of been going back and forth each other, making references. And Jimmy couldn't wait to dive into the dog gate.
There are a lot of very big celebrities here with us tonight. Uggy is here. Uggy's the dog from the movie The Artist. Uggy is amazing. He can roll over on command. He's a Democrat. Uggy, I have some advice. If Mitt Romney ever invites you to go for a ride, call shotgun. And if the president tries to butter you, run. Last week we learned that the president's two favorite steaks are ribeye and seeing eye. You know you don't have to reveal everything in an autobiography, right? I mean, you can leave some things out. When you go to a dog park, is it the same as when we look at a tank full of lobsters?
So funny that he's, you know, hanging out with and essentially roasting the most powerful man in the world, but to basically be making jokes about the guy eating dogs when he's sitting 3 feet away from you.
Yeah, that's the difficult part, and that's the part that people may not realize, is that it's really difficult to stand in front of the person that you're mocking.
Yes.
And
yes,
mock him to his face.
Yes,
when he's
exactly
the most powerful man in the world. It's hard enough just to mock somebody to their face normally, let alone he's the most powerful man in the world.
Because all the president has to do is make a phone call, right, and SEAL Team 6 takes out Kimmel, right? Jimmy was very excited and talked about how much he loved being in the nation's capital for the weekend.
I have to say, I've been having a lot of fun here in Washington. It's such a great city with all the history and monuments. I was at the Lincoln Memorial last night. I was standing there in awe, thinking, wow, back in the 60s, on this very spot, Forrest Gump reunited with Jenny.
Of course, being Jimmy, he couldn't resist getting a personal question to the president. And I think this was more than just comedy. I think this was Jimmy sincerely asking the president, taking advantage of the time he had in front of the man himself.
I do have one real question for you, Mr. President. What's with the marijuana crackdown? I mean, seriously, what is the concern? We will deplete the nation's Funyun supply? You know, pot smokers vote, too, sometimes a week after the election, but they vote.
Laughing it up at that too. He had a great conclusion to his event, and by the way, you should see the whole video if you have time to watch all of Jimmy's speech. It was about a half an hour. The president was also very, very funny that night as well. But here's how Jimmy closed down. I thought he did again a great job.
It has been an honor for me to be here before so many members of the Washington and national media. You're here tonight because, as journalists, you care about freedom, free speech, a free press, and most importantly, free dinner. Some people say journalism is in decline. They say you've become too politicized, too focused on sensationalism. They say you no longer honor your duty to inform America, but instead actively try to divide us so that your corporate overlords can rake in the profits. I don't have a joke for this. I'm just letting you know what some people say. In conclusion, it really has been an honor for me to be here tonight, and I'd like to thank Karen Bohan for inviting me, and I also want to thank Mr. Mills, my 10th grade high school history teacher, who said I'd never amount to anything if I kept screwing around in class. Mr. Mills, I'm about to high-five the President of the United States. Is it okay? Eat it, Mills. Thank you, everybody.
And then he does. He high-fives the president and says, eat it, Mills. And I can't wait to watch, you know, Access Hollywood and those shows tonight, because you know they're going to track down Mr. Mills and find out what he said about it.
Yeah.
But imagine what it must have been like for him to be sitting at home watching that and see one of his students that he did nothing but give a hard time to back in high school high-fiving the president of the United States.
And closing out the speech with, eat it, Mills.
Eat it, Mills. Exactly. Congratulations. How about the Kevin Bean Afro line on the air right now at 323-520-AFRO. That's the Kevin Bean voicemail. You call us, leave a message anytime. We play it back on the radio. What's going on today?
Guess you guys did Omaroki giving away tickets for the Weenie Roast?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
very painful.
The kids love it.
Hey, guys. Turn up your headphones and lean in close, because I'm about to tell you a little secret. Are you ready? Well, here it is. Whoa! Whoa! That's why I had to listen to this morning. Jesus Christ, Omar, shut the
f***
up!
Yeah, Omar was doing a little Pennywise there for Omaroki, yeah, and he got into it. I think the problem is that Omar thinks he's great, so he delivers everything at 110% velocity because he thinks he's really a blessing.
He's first 3 weeks of American Idol.
Yep, he
that's
sure
what,
is.
That's what Omar is. The people continue to love Beer Mug.
I was sitting here contemplating and stewing in my hate for Beer Mug, and I thought of a good thing that you guys can do on the show that you guys probably never considered, and that would be a dog shock collar. Oh. You put one around Beer Mug's neck, and every time he f***s up, shock the crap out of him. Like or that. The other option also is, a knife.
A knife.
You know, you can have somebody dedicated to the job of standing next to him, like maybe Chip or maybe even Bean. I think Bean would enjoy this. And to stand there with a knife, and every time he f***s up, you just stab him real quick.
Just stab him real quick.
Just a little.
I would love that.
Yeah,
are
Bean would love
me?
That too much. We would have to. That would just end immediately.
Yeah.
No, because we'd have to drag him out.
Mug. Hey.
What, Bean?
We could be rid of Mugs in 10 minutes, though, if we had that policy in effect.
Mugs. Hey, man. When you started your whole diet thing, I said, hey, you know what? I'm going to do it, too. I started out at 238. I currently weigh 219. I lost 19 pounds, you fat Here, fat.
Kevin, you were out last week, so you missed Beer Mug's weigh-in. He gained a pound and a half. So he's where now? What have you lost? About 7 pounds so far in the first, 11 weeks of this competition?
Yeah, about 8 or something like that.
That is awesome.
He was completely undeterred. He's like, well, you know how he is about the cliches. Well, now I just got to put my nose to the grindstone. I got to, never quit. And he just went on and on and on about how now he's serious. This time he's serious because he can still do it. He still believes.
Beer Mug is first 3 weeks of American Idol. That's what he is.
Nothing good has ever come from calling the Afro line. But a lot of good has.
Good point.
Making fun of me. Lisa May has her fans. This guy apparently has been hitting on you a long time, but it might be over.
Oh.
It might be over.
Lisa May. So I've been calling the Afro line for a few years. Sometimes my messages get through, they get played, and I always end up with Lisa May. Because Lisa's awesome. Until this whole raisin thing happened, what the F? You don't like raisins? That's like admiring some hot chick across the room and like, hey, check her out. And then she turns, and not only is she's smoking from her emphysema hole. I don't know how this makes me feel. Lisa, I hope you had a nice weekend. With raisins on it.
They're so disgusting.
What is wrong with you? You're the only person in the world who doesn't like raisins.
No. I got a lot of Twitter help.
Really?
There is Team Lisa now, the anti-raisin brigade. Yes.
Wow.
It's texture. The texture of raisins are, yeah.
It's delicious, right?
It's a fight worth going after.
Smishy.
I'm the Best is a song that has taken over the world.
I've had this song stuck in my head all day at work. Thanks to you, you stupid jerks. I hate you, Kevin and Dean. What the hell kind of name is Dean? Oh, that's right. It's really Gene.
Oh, what a burn.
That is a burn.
Sam's the Best. Sam's the Best. Sam's the best. Sam's the best.
You're meaning comedian love, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. How about that?
My mom's the best.
Good. Oh. You know her mom put her up to that.
Yeah.
So say it just like this. We give people advice when it's raining. We tell them what to do, and that generally is to step on it because you're on the road for a lesser amount of time.
I took your advice. Look where it got me.
Well, look, you're just not going fast enough if you could still hear the police sirens.
Right. Speed up more. That way the police can't catch you.
Don't stop believing.
King of Mexico, by the way.
27 down, motherfucking points. The Clippers came back from 27 points. Could you believe that? You better play my song, Kevin!
It is only one game, but an awfully impressive game. I gotta give him credit for that.
Clippers ball so hard, you know where to find me. Laker fans keep trying me. I got the Clipper Nation standing right behind me, so you can't deny me. Ball so hard, I couldn't believe. When the news came down, we got CP3. And just like that, at the drop of a hat, the team turned into Lob City. Ball so hard, this is weird. Clippers not supposed to be here. Ball so hard, since we here, you know it's going to be the Clippers' year. CP3 and Chauncey, all-stars. Take your pick. Butler, Griffin, Jordan, our team is sick.
The Laker era
is over.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It
gets the people going.
When Blake goes up, you know he's going to find him. CP3. 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 Dre goes up, you know he's going to find him. CP3. And Chauncey. Lob City.
This is my favorite part.
Clippers in the zone. Staples Center, aho. You about to get owned. Lakers be dethroned. That's right. Clipper Nation, rise up. 2012 is our year. Shout outs to Clipper Daryl, DJ Dance. I see you, Dance. What up, Fung? Dave, the King of Mexico. DJ Omar Khan. Clipper Nation forever. Suck it, Kevin.
By the way, that's like three of Dave's friends that he's shouting out to there.
I'm sure, yeah.
You know what's better than coming back from 27? Not being down 27. Like the Group Love on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It is 6:53.
They're one of the bands that's playing the Bud Light Stage Dose, as we're calling it, on Cinco de Mayo this weekend for the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta, along with AWOL Nation of Monsters and Men, Walk the Moon. Main stage, of course, is Coldplay and Incubus, The Offspring, Silver Sun Pickups, Pennywise, Angels and Airwaves, Dirty Heads, Garbage. Going to be a great show. Got your tickets coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph Garman.
More importantly, Saturday is Free Comic Book Day.
Yay!
Woo!
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 That's a woo! That's a fun thing every year, right?
Go to your local comic book store, and they will give you more than one free comic books. And there'll be prizes and adventures and games and snacks for the kids and balloons.
Do they do, like, Record Store Day, where they come out with special things just for that day every
year,
Rob? Yeah,
the free comic books that they give away are published by the comic book companies that they are specifically made just to hand out to people. So
fun.
Get some rare collectible comic books that way.
And put them right on eBay.
Nope. Take them home and love them. Read them and roll around with them.
Open up a blog.
Open up a blog, people, for God's sakes. All right, it is Monday morning. Let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. Think Like a Man, still number one at the box office. $18 million made it number
one.
No, 18. 18.
Nine is next.
Pirates, Band of Misfits, the animated film from the makers of Wallace and Gromit, came in at number two with $11.4 million in its debut weekend. The Lucky One was third, The Hunger Games, The Five-Year Engagement. Safe was sixth, The Raven, the Edgar Allan Poe mystery, was seventh, Chimpanzee, The Three Stooges, and The Cabin in the Woods routed out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Good news today! Chloe and Lamar have announced they are pulling the plug on their TV series.
How about that?
Great.
The show's second season will be its last, according to reps for both Chloe and Lamar, because Lamar wants to focus on his NBA career.
On his what?
Why so soon?
Yeah.
Lamar was relegated to the Mavericks' inactive list after putting up career low numbers this season, so he thinks maybe it's time to focus on basketball and less on being a Kardashian and being on television.
Less weed as well.
That might help.
How old is Lamar? Does anyone know off the top of their head?
I don't.
I think he's young enough that he should still be playing in the NBA, sure. I'll tell you that.
For a guy who was winning championships a couple of years ago, he shouldn't be done, right?
No.
Yeah. While we're talking about the Kardashians, Kimye, as they're calling Kim and Kanye now. That's their media tag, God. Kevin. You may have missed that last week. They, of course, jetted from New York City to Washington, D.C., where she showed up for the White House Correspondents' Dinner. A lot of shots were taken at Kim during the Correspondents' Dinner, which was nice.
Sure.
Yeah. Kanye wasn't invited, by the way. How pissed off must he have been that Kim...
The president thinks he's a jackass, right?
Kim went to that event, and Kanye was on the outside looking in.
That's
that
awesome.
Must have killed him. But afterwards, they went to New York City and saw Wicked and had ice cream. So they're enjoying their very public romance, making sure everyone sees them come and go from every possible event.
Why is she famous anyway?
And
sex tape.
While we're talking about Kardashian, that photo they're saying is that's of her in the kitchen cracking those eggs into a frying pan naked. Have you seen the photo?
No.
Yes. Out on the internet this weekend.
Is it good?
Is it her?
It's not her. Yeah.
Oh.
It is not her.
Is it good?
You can pretty much tell it's not her just by looking at it, but it has been confirmed that it is someone else. It's a very attractive young lady who's naked making eggs, but it's not Kim, although she has Kim's ass. That's for sure.
you saw the other photo that is her that came out either Friday or over the weekend, Ralph, which was an outtake from her Playboy shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And that was real good.
Yeah, it was released
wrong with that.
In Mexico or Italy or something. They released those pictures. Yeah, they were extra shots from her Playboy layout. So it's pretty strong. NBC has announced it is taking Best Friends Forever off the air. Oh, no. No, don't take my Best Friends Forever. Loved that.
I didn't know that was on.
No. It's been on for four episodes, and apparently the ratings were so low.
It was terrible. NBC I watched it once.
Of course, Lisa saw it.
Well, Lisa loves bad television.
No, you know, I can tell from a million miles away that show was crap. I can tell.
Now I can tell you definitively.
But we could have told you before you wasted your 30 minutes.
But now you know for sure.
I know for sure. I knew already before.
You did not know.
I did, absolutely.
But now I've helped you know.
Oh, you haven't helped me.
Now we all know.
No, we don't.
And you're welcome.
Did not say thank you.
Didn't say thank you, don't mean thank
my
you.
My pleasure.
She doesn't listen to a thing we say.
That isn't good for you.
More NBC news. Will Ferrell will be heading back to Saturday Night Live.
Fantastic.
He'll be guest hosting again on the May 12th show with musical guest Usher. You can check that out this week.
All in Spanish, though.
No. It'll be in English.
Telemundo.
You know, it'll be a good time for everyone who speaks English. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Cloris Leachman, who's very funny over there on Raising Hope on Fox. She's 86 years old today.
86.
She won an Oscar at one point, didn't she, Ralph?
For Last Picture Show, yeah.
Yeah.
She was great.
Boy, she's been in show business a long time.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
She's not doing as well as she used to be. But.
She played the call girl that Paul Newman sleeps with in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. I think that was 1969, I think she was in that film. So she's been around for a while.
69. Kevin has to hate her so much.
Willie Nelson, 79 years old today. Actor Adrian Pasdar from Heroes. He was the one who could fly around, remember? The flying congressman.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
47 years old. Akon is 39. Johnny Galecki from Big Bang Theory is 37. His co-star, Kunali Nayar, is 31 years old. Kirsten Dunst is 30 years old. Kunal Nayar plays Raj on Big Bang Theory.
Oh, sorry. I thought that was the hot chick. Sorry.
I don't know why you want to have sex with the Indian kid from Big Bang Theory.
He loves it.
Who am I
he
to judge? Who am I to judge?
Bean loves that.
That's all I'm saying. Kirsten Dunst is 30 years old today, and Diana Agron from Glee is 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Chance to win your tickets in the pit for the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta coming up in about 25 minutes or so from right now here on the world-famous K-Rock. Plus, it's a great time to be a Los Angeles basketball fan. Both teams in the playoffs, both teams up 1-0. Great time to be a hockey fan, too, if you follow the Kings. We'll talk to Petros Papadakis about all that coming up next hour as well.
All right, let's talk about Justin Bieber and how he's named his penis.
Now, he hasn't named his penis. According to this interview, it's something his fans came up with. But listen to this British broadcaster talking to Justin about it and see if you can figure out how on earth you would ever choose this as a name for your junk.
I was asking loads of your fans for questions. This one fan tweets, oh, you know, ask about Jerry. How's Jerry? Is Jerry loving the UK? I'm like, who is Jerry? Next thing, who is Jerry is trending across the world.
Yeah, my fans are a little inappropriate.
It turns out Jerry is... Is that embarrassing, having that trend, the second biggest trend in the world?
Funny. I mean, I don't know. My fans are kind of inappropriate, but it's funny.
Why is it called Jerry?
I don't know. That's just what they named.
They named it?
Yeah.
I'd call it, mine's called, you know, Excalibur. I would call it something more like that, you know? Jerry seems a bit...
Jerry just seems kind of like, here's Jerry.
If you want to rename it, Justin, now is definitely the time.
I'm going to have to think about that one.
Okay, so Jerry for now.
Yeah.
What a waste of space that guy is.
You know, he's just got no personality.
He's just got nothing.
He?
He's bland as hell.
Yeah.
He certainly hasn't. You've learned how to talk into a microphone so he can be heard. I'll tell you that. So Jerry, I don't know
Jerry
what that's about.
Jerry makes me think that his penis has a pocket protector and glasses, dorky glasses. Sounds like a accountant.
Yeah.
Well, we thought it would open up an interesting topic, and it's been years, I think, since we've done this, but we are going to look for your nicknames for your genitals. This can be ladies, too. Now, we're not talking boobs. I know you have a lot of nicknames for the girls. We're not talking boobs. We're just talking below the belt right now. 1-800-520-1067. We're going to want to hear from you what your nicknames for your genitals are. You can give us a call here on the Kevin Bean Show.
Now, the difference here is that everyone calling will have named it themselves.
Right,
nobody,
I hope.
Nobody goes around naming other people's junk, and if they do, you don't want it. It's not a good thing.
I don't know. I could see if you had a girlfriend name your penis or a boyfriend name your, thing, that it might be a private joke or it might be sweet or it might be complimentary. That's possible.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, but not your friends. Your friends.
No,
don't your friends. Get
to no. If your friends are naming your drug, that's definitely
you're already
trouble.
In trouble. It doesn't matter what they're naming it. If your friends are naming it, then you're
yes,
in trouble.
Yes, absolutely. 1-800-520-1067. Of course, the gold standard for naming your genitals is this.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon.
Octagon. Now that, my friends, is a nickname for your penis.
I had three. Some were given to me by my fans. One was Sticky, of course. One was the Hammer of Thor. And then the Hospitalizer.
I have one as well. I like the Hospitalizer. Mine's called the Vice.
The Vice? Oh,
the
no.
Vice.
Nice, wow. Right?
I don't know. I'm curious about that.
You know,
nice or not.
It is possible to squeeze too much.
Yeah.
You know that, right, Lisa?
Vice is
maybe you
turn
can't
too
leave.
Tight.
How about that?
Mm. At least it doesn't have teeth, at least, I hope. All right, so we're taking your calls, 1-800-520-1067. I think this is going to be a lot of fun, and I think Spencer is going to lead off here. He is on line three, and he joins us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hi, Spencer. Thanks for calling. We're talking about naming your junk. What do you got?
Optimus Prime.
Optimus Prime.
Oh, okay.
That's nice. All right. I'm going to ask everybody if they can tell us the story and do it cleanly. How'd you end up with that name?
Just when my ex-girlfriend ended up calling it, and I was like, hey, I kind
of
like that.
So yeah, of course.
I might have it stick around.
All right. Thank you for the call. Optimus Prime. Not bad.
Like that. Because it transforms, because it starts out as one thing and ends up as something else,
uh-huh.
Right? Let's try Jacob, line two. Jacob, thanks for calling the Kevin DeBean Show. What have you named your junk, or what has somebody else named your junk?
The Hammer.
The Hammer?
Yeah.
Who named it that?
Actually, my friends in high school in bowling class. That was the name of my bowling ball.
I'm sorry.
And somehow it became your junk?
Whoa, let's back up to bowling class. Bowling class in high school.
Yeah.
The
actually,
guys in bowling class at high school named your penis.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Why? What? I mean, what kind of after parties were you guys having when the bowling stopped?
Well, no, it's actually because I have really big hands. And the Hammer, which was the name of the ball, has a really big handset. So they said, big hands, big junk. So
okay. And who are you to argue? If they want to call it the Hammer, you'll let them call it the Hammer, right?
Yeah, my girlfriend calls it the Hammer, too, so...
Yeah, you make her. All right.
Very nice. Thank you.
Bowling like line. She exists.
Like he has a girlfriend.
That.
If you're in bowling class in high school, you don't have a girlfriend.
Let's try Mike on line eight. Mike, thanks for calling the Kevin DeBean Show. What are you calling your penis these days?
Makita.
Makita.
See, you're Mike and he's Makita. I like it. How come?
Makita as in the power drill, Makita.
Oh.
Yeah.
Listen, women love a power drill.
There you go. Yeah, they love it when it's mine, I'll tell you that.
All right.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling.
All right. We got a lot of guys on the line. We're, again, calls are fine from the ladies, too, if you've got a special nickname for down there. Let's try Joe. Joe is on line six. 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show.
How's it going?
Good.
My girl calls it Chocolate Thunder.
Chocolate Thunder.
Chocolate Thunder. Nice.
Oh, that's sweet. Now, I should steal that.
Are you a black guy?
No, I'm Mexican, but I'm not too dark. But I'm a little dark, so she calls it the Chocolate Thunder.
All
she
right.
calls it around from the Thunder or Chocolate Thunder.
Oh, I like that.
Chocolate Thunder. It's pretty strong, dude.
That is strong.
Oh. All right.
It's better than Roger. No one's way better than Roger. I'll tell you that.
No one is calling with sad little nicknames, by the way.
Of course not.
There's no one who's calling up and going, yeah, they call it Droopy or
right.
You know, whatever it is.
If they did, you wouldn't call and brag about that.
All right, here's one up. I spoke too soon. Let's go to Brad. Brad's on line two. He's got a sad tale of woe.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, hello.
Hi there.
What happened?
I had an ex-girlfriend, and she gave my junk a name, and she called it Angry Inch.
Yay! Oh man, was that before or after you guys broke up?
Long before.
I think it was before and after.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
It explains a lot.
Lisa, you probably saw that that play, the Hedwig play, right?
Oh, yes.
With the Angry Inch. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that just screws with your head. I mean, Brad has just been walking around in pain ever since that nickname was bestowed upon him.
He'll never get over that.
He'll never get over it.
It's no Hospitalizer.
Right. It's true. Not the Hospitalizer. Thank you very much for the call. All right, let's do one more before the break. Let's go to Blake. Blake is on line three. And again, we're taking your calls. Men and women both. 1-800-520-1067. What are you naming your genitals these days? Hi, Blake.
Hey.
Hey.
They call it the fresh fit.
The Polish fist.
Doesn't sound good.
It doesn't. It sounds something you'd make war with, not make love with.
Well, it depends on the woman.
He invades. It's like an army.
We can't hear a word you're saying, Blake, but thank you for calling.
Getting quite a response, and we're going right back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What are you naming your genitals, or what did somebody else name your genitals? Hey, real quick, Ryan writes in, hey, Bean, wild ex-girlfriend in college called mine the Savior. Whenever she had a bad day, the Savior would come in and save the day. Also got a tweet from Jennifer who says, I'm the girlfriend of the one who calls it the Hammer. I do exist. That was the guy that we were mocking you in the bowling class.
How about that?
Also from Twitter, Jesse writes in, I call mine Team 6. Get in, get out. No one ever knows I'm there. So there you go. That's what we're looking for is, what is your penis called? Or ladies, if you've got a name for your privates, we want to hear from you too. How about, let's go to Justin on line one. Let's find out what the background is on this crazy nickname.
Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's going on?
Nicknames, what do you got?
Well, my girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, used to name her vagina Nana. So I decided to call mine No-No.
Really?
Na-na-no-no.
Na-na-no-no.
You made that choice?
I don't think you ever want to associate the word no with your penis when you're talking about your girlfriend.
That just twice.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it No-No. Yeah. Well, that's the worst decision ever.
Yeah, you need to rethink that one. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Brian, line three. Hey, Brian. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hello, Brian.
Oh, hey, sorry about that.
No worries.
I call mine the darkness.
The darkness.
The darkness.
Why?
Well, I got a little drunk at a party one time and was going off about the size and how I'm well endowed like a black man. And all my friends thought it was hilarious, and it kind of stuck. Even my wife called it that.
The darkness.
None of it is true, but it makes you guys all laugh.
Right, exactly. That's all that matters.
Oh, yeah. How about E-Weeb? Like, there's a person named if his name is E-Weeb, I can't imagine what his penis is named, but he's on line four joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
E-Weeb.
Yeah. What's up, Kevin Bean, Lisa May? Ring that bell, baby.
All right. That's his name.
All right. That's his name. What is what's the nickname?
Gut Buster.
Well, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Why the Gut Buster?
Because, That's why. That's all you need to know.
All right, E-Weeb. Thank you. Casey writes in the movie How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, Kate Hudson named Matthew McConaughey's Princess Sophia. He tried to rename it Crawl the Warrior King. That's a real difference between those two. Let's try Tyler. Tyler's on line five here on the Kevin Beach Show. A lot of creative penis names going on.
Sure. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Nickname?
The Brutalizer.
Jesus. Brutalizer. So much violence. Gutbuster, the Brutalizer.
Who came up with that, Tyler? You?
My girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
All right.
Lisa, you wouldn't be interested in meeting the Brutalizer. That just doesn't sound like a good time, right?
I don't want the Brutalizer. I don't want the Makita.
Yeah.
I don't want the Gut Buster.
Yeah.
Come on, people.
You gotta think about the lady too when you're coming up with your nicknames. All right, let's try Aaron on line six. I'm not sure I understand this one, but I hope there's a story. Aaron, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What is yours called?
Hey guys, the Enterprise.
The ship from Star Trek?
To boldly go where no man has gone before. Back in college, a young lady, a friend of mine, basically got her virginity taken several ways.
She got it taken, did she?
Several ways, he adds, by the way. All right. Understood. Say no more.
The Enterprise.
Let's try Eddie. Eddie's on line seven. Wow, we just got a million of these.
Hey, Eddie.
What's going on?
Your wife named it what?
The General.
The General.
General. You have to obey the orders of the General.
That's not bad. That's better because at least it doesn't involve Lisa May grimacing.
Ending up in the emergency room.
Right. The General. Any story behind that?
We were in the middle of sex. She tells me, this isn't a private. This is definitely a general.
Oh, nice.
All right.
Compliment. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Susie. Susie is on line four. Again, just on the surface, this doesn't look like a good name, but let's see what's going on with her husband.
Hi, Susie.
Hey, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi there.
What's the nickname?
Superman.
Superman, all right.
I'm sorry. I got kryptonite on the screen is what it says here.
No, mine. She calls mine kryptonite.
That's Susie. Oh, that makes sense. Okay. He's Superman and you're his kryptonite.
That's right.
I got you. Okay. All right.
That's cool.
Makes sense. Thank you.
It sounds to me like they're playing dress up. How about, well, I got the thing.
Let's talk to Billy.
All right.
Hey, Billy.
Hi.
Hi. Nickname?
The Truth.
The Truth.
What?
Because women can't handle it.
Oh, that's great.
Very nicely done. Like Thank it. You.
Ricky emails in, hey, Bean, my wife calls it payday because like payday, you look forward to it. That's
no.
nice.
Hmm.
You want to close with Yasmin on line one?
Sure. Hey, Yasmin.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Nickname?
Hi. It's Cookie.
Cookie. That's yours?
Now, this is yours or his?
No, that's my ex-girlfriend gave me that nickname a few years ago. We were dating, and I used to watch kids for a living, and I used to tell them, like, make sure you clean your cookie when they came out of the potty. So she got into calling me that, and then she got into calling herself the Cookie Monster.
No, I never want this conversation to end. God bless you, Yaz. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling. Bye.
Oh, I hate that we have to clear those lines now.
Oh, I hate
it's
when you make
just getting good.
All right, we're going to clear the lines, and we're going to give away some tickets
mm-hmm.
in the pit for the
yes.
for the 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta.
Now, we are looking for Offspring fans and Incubus fans. Anybody can call, but it'll help you if you're a fan of those bands, the Offspring and the Incubus. 1-800-520-1067. Your chance to win tickets in the pit for this weekend's sold-out 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta next on the pit tickets for this Saturday's sold-out 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta right now at 1-800-520-1067. It's the Kevin and Bean title fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's title fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
So we've done this game about a million times, yet we never are clear of how the rules work.
We can't but agree.
I think Lisa and Dave are going to be giving clues that are going to be the titles. One of them will have Offspring songs. One of them will have Incubus songs. And then the caller on the line, and we've got line three and line five are going to be our contestants. They're going to name as many songs as they can in a fixed period of time. Whoever names the most in that period of time wins the tickets. Do I have that right so far?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to Steven. Let's get started with him. He is on line three and joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Steven, what's going on, man?
What's up, guys? Hey. How you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Who up, do you think Lisa? You're going to go? You're going to go with Lisa or with Dave here to play the game? I don't know if you've heard the game before, if you have a preference, who you think is better, but you get to choose.
Choose your poison.
I'll go with Lisa.
Lisa,
I guess you don't want to go.
Good
he doesn't listen.
Choice.
Okay,
guys.
And let's say, hi, the pit.
Let's say hi to Enrique real quick. Enrique, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. So you're going to be stuck with Dave after you hear what Steven and Lisa are able to do, okay?
Great.
But the pressure is going to be on them because we're going to make them go first since Steven got to pick his poison. So here's Steven and Lisa. Kevin, how many seconds on the clock? Please?
45.
Okay.
45 seconds on the clock. Lisa is going to be giving you clues.
Can I tell them who the band is when I open it?
Open up your envelope and see who it is. And remember, don't use any of the words in the title, any of the major words in the title when you're giving him the clues.
All right. You ready?
Yep.
Here we go.
These are Incubus songs. You do this with a shovel in the ground.
Dig.
Uh-huh.
Dig,
yes. This is when someone tells you don't do something. They're giving you a... this would be a sign on an electrical fence. It's a...
Warning.
Uh-huh. When you bump into someone, you say... Excuse. When you bump into them...
Come on.
Okay, this is what a warning...
Mm-hmm.
This is what a warden does when someone's going to be executed. They give them a...
Oh, skip.
When you really, really want someone and it's in your heart and it's painful.
No, right.
Oh, nice clues, though, Lisa. We were looking for Pardon Me was the first one we were looking for, and then she was getting to Love Hurts there. So you just got two. You just got Dig and Warning. How are you feeling about yourself right now, Steven? Because I got news for you. It was you. It wasn't Lisa. Lisa was great.
Sorry, Steven. You got nervous.
All right, this is going to be a very quick game. All Enrique and Dave have to do is come up with more than two, and they win the tickets in the pitch.
Normally, I'm confident.
Hey,
but
Bean, you're missing the fact that Dave is involved in this game.
Yeah, and normally I'm like way confident, but all I can see is Nick Young draining threes, so yeah, my mind is not clear.
Sure.
Look, in 45 seconds, even the king can have three. Although, who knows? Enrique could be mentally disabled. We don't know yet.
All right, Enrique.
We got offspring, so get ready, Enrique.
There you go.
All right.
All right, when you feel good about yourself, what do you have?
Self-esteem.
That's right. When you're not here, but you're somewhere else, you're? If you go somewhere else, you're...
Gone away?
Yep. Not a black dude, but...
You're pretty fly for white guy?
That's right.
There ladies and gentlemen! Right.
Yeah, Lisa, you went down.
I barely went down.
That, by the way, Dave is talking awfully black since the Clippers are in the playoffs. I don't know if you've noticed. I think he's watching too much TV.
Yeah, by the way, Lisa didn't go down. Steven went down.
Poor Steven.
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry, Steven.
Enrique, you are in the pit on Saturday. We'll see you there at the K-Rock Weenie Rosie Fiesta. Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's title fight. Petros Papadakis joins us coming up next year on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph Garman, how was One and a Half Man over the weekend?
Great. Great show at Hollywood Babylon up there at the Lovitz with Brad Williams as my partner over the weekend. We had a full house, and everyone seemed to have a good time, which is posted right now. If you want to hear it, you can go to smodcast.com to hear myself and Brad Williams do Hollywood Babylon. And also, my podcast with Jay Moore, More Stories, drops today as well.
Oh, so fantastic.
If you want to hear me and Jay talk about the ins and outs of impersonations and premature babies and about 9 other million things we talked about in the course of about 2 hours. I think it's a really fun podcast. So you want to check that out as well.
You're the king of the podcast this week, man. Coming right off the Brad Williams podcast, too. You're everywhere.
Yeah, I am. I'm everywhere. Except most places.
And time for the Showbiz Beat right now on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
It's Monday morning. It means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Think Like a Man. Believe it or not, still number one at the box office this weekend. Now, keep in mind, Avengers comes out next weekend.
Yeah.
This coming weekend.
Do you think it'll beat it, or do you think Like a Man will
change
dominate
the structure of the financial movie industry as we know it? But Think Like a Man with $18 million was number one this weekend. Pirates, Band of Misfits came in at number two. The Lucky One, The Hunger Games, 5-Year Engagement rounded out the top five. Then Safe, The Raven, Chimpanzee, The Three Stooges, and The Cabin in the Woods were the rest of the top 10 this weekend. E! Entertainment Television is officially changing its name to Crappy Entertainment Television.
Officially?
Yeah.
They've announced that?
Instead
okay.
of E, it'll be Crappy.
That's official.
No, not really. Oh. But they have said they are going to give Whitney Cummings another TV series.
That can never happen!
Love You Mean It with Whitney Cummings will be a weekly show where she makes hilarious comments about pop culture and relationships.
So
it's Chelsea Lately, basically, with Whitney Cummings. Yeah.
Okay.
This will give me a chance to get back to my stand-up roots, Whitney says. I'm really excited to say almost whatever I'd like on TV again. Okay, but you're going to have to give up that other one then, America said. You can't punish us twice a week. You got to leave the other show. But apparently,
by the way, I liked Whitney Cummings' stand-up. I thought she was very good as a stand-up. But it did not translate to her NBC show at all.
Okay. Liv. Jennifer Love Hewitt. She's embarrassed.
Really?
Yeah, she went on the Ellen DeGeneres show and foolishly said, I've got a major crush on Adam Levine of Maroon 5.
Yeah.
This isn't junior high school. Don't tell your friends who you're crushing on, especially on television. Because then Adam Levine was on the Ellen DeGeneres show. And Ellen played the clip for her and said, look, this girl, Jennifer Love Hewitt, she really digs you. You guys should get together. And he said, oh, that's sweet.
No.
Oh, no.
That's bite. That was aggressive, he added.
Really?
It's a beautiful life, you know, when a beautiful woman says nice things about you, but not so much. He wasn't really interested.
Who's not in? What?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, how can
you?
Yeah.
But
that sounds like a good deal.
Now, Jennifer Love Hewitt tweeted after the episode, the moment when you make a comment about something or someone and the world makes you feel like a total fool, hashtag keep crushes quiet.
Oh.
So now she's crestfallen.
I have that clip, if you want to hear it, of Jennifer Love Hewitt proclaiming her love for Adam Levine. I do have that.
Please,
if you're
sure.
Interested.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Yeah. She sounds hot.
She does.
I'd like to bang her when I hear that voice.
Hotter than ever.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, Jennifer Love Hewitt dated Carson Daly, the host of The Voice.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's
so
right.
Maybe she's just trying to
work her way through the
rack
cast.
Rack them all up. Yeah. She should try Stubby, see if he's available. Maybe he'd give her a toss. What's his name? Flipper?
CeeLo.
That's it.
It's Flipper, yeah.
Yeah. What's up? What's up with those arms?
I don't know.
I don't know.
In relation to the body, it's odd.
Yeah. I think he gained weight and just never gained it. It kept going past his joints, and just now he's just like a... He's like the Willy Wonka when the girl turns into the blueberry and she's rolling around the floor of the chocolate factory.
I know he can't reach that red button. I know that. He's never had anyone on his team.
You need to get him like a red toggle switch or something. Something
he keeps diving.
Something or maybe a remote control, something that he can handle.
Something he can hit with his nose or get him one of those straws you blow into like those people in the chairs who can't move around or something. But we gotta work something out.
It is kind of sad.
Seems
what
unfair.
They put him through every week.
He's got some issues over there. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Cloris Leachman, she's 86 years old today. She's been in the movie business for a long, long time. TV, too. She's over there on Raising Hope. Does a very funny job on that show. Willie Nelson turns 79 years old. Adrian Pasdar, he is 47. He's a good-looking guy, that Adrian Pasdar.
Yeah.
Even with that scar. It's very manly. It's a very mannish scar he's got. It's like a dueling scar. He's got
that
a scar.
Yeah.
Right down here,
face?
Right oh. side of his face. Yeah, it looks like he got caught in a knife fight or something. It's awesome.
Really? I never noticed
I
that
I didn't
before.
Either.
Oh, yeah.
Ralph's looking quite closely.
Well, it's a
at
giant
Adrian
scar.
Right.
But it's not like Tina Fey's scar
it's
that you can't
much
miss.
Bigger than Tina Fey's
it
scar.
Is?
Much
Are you
bigger.
Lisa,
much. Pull up a picture of Adrian Pasdar and look at his face. It looks like he got caught in a wheat thresher.
What are you talking about?
For God's sake!
The wrong guy. The guy
you
from
must
Heroes?
Be. Yeah, the guy who flies
the guy
in
who
Heroes.
Flies, he was like the senator or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. See a scar on. Where's the scar on his face? I'm looking at a full face photo of him. Where's the scar? On what part of his face?
There's no scar. Oh, there is a big scar.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
But he's got the 5 o'clock shadow thing going, yeah, so you can't really see
you
it.
You see him shaved. Look at from the left side of his face. It runs from. His smile lines right past his mouth down to his chin.
I don't see it there.
Well, he's turned away. That's his right side there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they hide it in a still photo.
Make it up things. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. I'm making things up.
Well, I saw the guy on TV for 3 seasons. I never noticed his scar.
Well, I am not responsible for your lack of attention. Akon's 39 years old today. Boy, look at the scars on Akon's face, too. Beat him up with a broken beer bottle. Johnny Galecki from The Big Bang Theory is 37 years old today. His castmate, Kunal Nayar, who Beam thinks is hot. He plays Raj on that show. He's 31 years old. Kirsten Dunst is 30 years old. And Diana Agron of Glee turns 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us later this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. My advice to you right now, though, is to turn your radio down about 40%.
Why you gotta be such a hater? Why do you have to start that way?
Ow. Ow, so loud.
Oh, by the way, I was listening on my way up. Do you know what the nickname for my thing is?
No.
Tell me.
The Flaming Kebab. Or in Greek, the
good?
Souvlaki. What do you think?
I like
sounds
it in Greek
it sounds like it's diseased.
Yeah, it's a, well, absolutely. It's a processed mixture of lamb, pork, and beef. And a giant circular gyro thing.
Sounds
gotta love that.
Right. That is the voice of our friend, the great Petros Papadakis, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Petros and Money Show.
Olé, everybody. Woo! Good morning.
And I'm so glad we have you today because this is the time of year that Kevin enjoys the most and the time he dreads the most because once the NBA and NHL playoffs are over, then he's sunk.
Well, we got Dodger baseball. The Yo-Yos are doing pretty good. Yo-Yo-Yo-Yo-Yo-Yo. What are you talking about?
Not a big baseball fan.
Yeah, but the Yo-Yos. You got to get into the culture of it, man. I mean, think about it. The Yo-Yos are back. We're doing well.
I don't mind going to games, but
yeah.
I don't like to watch them.
We just swept the Washington Nationals. They came to town, and the Yo-Yos sent them back to the Capitol with no victories. Come on. Come on, Kevin.
It is sad to be an Anaheim sports fan these days.
Oh, times are hard.
Ducks not in the playoffs. The
Angels
yeah, because
that's
their...
what they care about, Bean.
Well,
those
saying,
Ducks,
they,
damn it all.
Hey, gosh, I got a lot of fans, but I'm saying that on top of the Angels having their worst start since, what, 1976? And then to look up and see all what's going on in L.A. with all these playoffs happening right now?
But the Angels don't have any marquee players, so.
Yeah, that's what it is.
No, it's not like they did nothing to improve their lot in life. So when you don't do anything, you just don't expect to come out of the gate very hot. I mean, you don't sign a big pitcher or the greatest hitter of his generation, and you just sit around on your hands and nothing happens. By the way, the Ducks, really, I mean, are people that depressed in Orange County?
No,
Bean, I mean, you could shoot a gun down Laguna Niguel right now because no one's out in the streets. They're so depressed about the Ducks losing.
I'm not saying it's the most popular sport in town. I'm just saying there are thousands and thousands and thousands of Ducks fans who would prefer to see them in the playoffs.
Guys, I hate to tell you this about hockey.
Thousands and thousands
Kings
fans.
Kings go!
How dare you all?
I like the Kings. I like the fact that they're winning. I wish their players, and I heard Kopitar on this show, and he sounded just as sedated.
I was
on
sick
our
last,
show
last week, and I was desperate to talk to Kopitar, and I just couldn't do it.
It's
what
okay.
What was wrong with that interview?
The interview was,
fine.
He sounded sedated. Mike Richards sounds sedated. Whenever we put these, and hockey people, you know how much I respect and love hockey. I do. I respect, I love the sport. I don't understand it much, but the guys are great people because they're all Canadian farm boys who are ripped from the bosoms of their mother.
They're all super nice.
Yeah, they were all ripped from the bosoms of their families at 14 years old and made to live at some Canadian house where everybody wears a flannel and they learn a lot of manners and they're wonderful to the media, but they're just so... I mean, they're so sedated on the air. Oh, well, I'm glad the Kings are winning, though. They're one up on St. Louis. When's the next game?
Next game is tomorrow night.
Go, Kings, go!
Or tonight. I'm sorry, tonight.
Hey, frozen hockey.
How dare you?
We're frozen soccer.
This is the most exciting time.
It is exciting, and the playoffs are fun. And it's fun to watch these guys just literally dismember each other. I mean, because that's what they're doing.
They do all game long.
This is a ridiculous sport. And I really do. I shudder at the thought of it, of actually having to play or anything like that. And then they have the playoffs and they're over and then they all shake hands like we're all Canadian buddies again. Let's go eat some bacon. I mean, everybody has a good time.
I just want to say this.
I'm
happy
for you.
I'm
happy for you.
But Jonathan Quick, freaking believable goalie.
Hey, he's keeping him from lighting the lamp.
That's correct.
He says, you're not going to light this lamp, not on my watch.
All right. Now, I know you guys want to talk about something else, so let's move on. The NBA?
No, no, Ducks. Look, there are 18,000 hockey fans that are Duck fans in town, and then another 18,000 that are Kings
How
fans.
How dare you?
And do you know where they are?
Can I tell
they're
you something?
They're inside the arena.
Can I tell you
they're
something?
Not outside, they're not watching on TV. They're not listening to the radio. They're inside the arena freaking
not
out.
Not to be partisan, but Kings sell out pretty much every game.
I know. That's
Ducks,
why I said they
Ducks couldn't sell out when they won the cup. They couldn't
You're
sell
right.
out.
You're right. But the fans in town... The sport doesn't translate well to digital media.
I've been told
the
that.
The fans in town sit.
I've been told.
I used to live downtown.
I love it anyway. It'd
be like 90 degrees outside, and you'd see these guys running around in purple sweaters, and they'd fall for it every time. And I'm an idiot. I mean, it doesn't get to be a bigger idiot than me. And I'd go, hey, you guys going to the Kings game? Well, you know it. It's like, well, where else would you be going? You're walking down Skid Row in a freaking, in a Marty McSorley gamer. Of course you're going to the Kings game, you dorks.
So anyway, excited.
All go right. Kings. I hope they win, too.
All right, good. All right, now let's move on.
If they get to the next round, the city will be excited, and people will get all geeked up about it, which is fun.
I'm just ready any minute now, or maybe any week now, Beer Mug is going to get himself a flag for his car. I'm sure that's coming.
Beer Mug totally looks relatively skinny.
Thank you.
But he also looks like a waiter in the 80s to me. I don't know. He just looks like
a waiter in the
80s. He just looks like he's going to come up to your table and be, you know, hey, how you doing? Where are you guys going after this? The LA Athletic Club? Come on, let's do it. I mean, doesn't he look like... I'm sorry. You know, it's just like my own thing.
See him that way.
Petros Papadakis is here from the Petros and Money Show. I want to ask, which kind of game do you enjoy more? We were talking about this just briefly earlier today. Do you prefer the Lakers win yesterday where you lead from bucket one and there's never any drama, but it's a solid in-the-bag victory that you can see coming all game long? Or do you prefer the nail-biter of what happened with the Clippers game where you're down so far, it's a miracle you don't give up and you still come back and win it?
The way I look at it is that either game is going to happen,
right?
And I'm just a spectator.
Right, but he's asking, which would you rather watch?
Well, I'm not a Laker fan, nor am I a Clipper fan.
No,
I'm just an observer.
If the Clippers could have had either game... Which would you, you're a Clipper fan.
Well, the Clippers were on the road. I mean, these things don't happen in a vacuum. I mean, the Clippers are on the road against a very tough team in a very tough environment. And they're very inexperienced playoff-wise. I mean, they have Chris Paul, but, you know, this is the first go-round for guys like Blake Griffin. And he was completely overmatched in the first half of that game. I mean, playoff basketball is different. Basketball coaches and players will tell you that. And these guys end up peeing down their leg a little bit, especially in the first game. They really do. And the Clippers were down 27, and they pulled out that great, I mean, it really was a miraculous fourth quarter. If they depend on that being, they're going to be out of the playoffs very, very soon. But it was fun to watch, and there's no question that it had a lot more drama. But if you're a Laker fan, you liked the...
You're perfectly happy the way it happened.
Yeah, you kind of liked the no-stress victory and the dominance. I mean, the Lakers just seem to be way too big for the Denver Nuggets. And look, this is a grossly inconsistent Laker team. I mean, that's who they've been all season long, so there's no reason to expect, especially with a brand-new coach, that they would not be inconsistent here in the playoffs. So I think it was something for the Laker fans to be really heartened about, that they came out with such a great sense of urgency. Let's see if they can hold it. Now, the Clippers, just getting back home court advantage, I mean, they're on the road in Memphis. That's a huge deal because they really, really hurt themselves by losing home court advantage. And then in that fourth quarter, they snatched it back.
How does it go in the playoffs in the seven series? Is it 2-3-2?
Right now, yeah, I think okay. It is 2-3-2. Or so no.
I never know.
2-2-1-1-1. Yes, that's what it is right now.
So I think. Two home games for Memphis and then two home games for the Clippers.
Right, and then we'll go back and forth.
Is it a successful...
Me and Dave, the King of Mexico, are going to Memphis. I was trying to explain to him that they don't do... That they don't do barbecue sauce on the ribs in Memphis.
Right.
It's a dry rub.
Uh-huh.
And then you dip the ribs. And okay. He was pretty excited. Well, they do it like that. Huh? It's not like Kansas City.
That's how the King of Mexico
talks.
I was
telling him, yeah, to me.
Is it considered a successful season for the Clippers if they just win round one? I mean, they're not going to go all the way, but if they win, if they beat Memphis.
What do you mean they're not going to go all the way?
Well, what do you mean?
I mean, look, anybody's got a chance. I mean, they got Chris Paul, the best point guard in the NBA. Blake Griffin's certainly an exciting player. I mean, they're pretty good.
I think once you get in the playoffs, anybody...
Realistically, Denver's not going all the way this year, Bean. I mean, but the Clippers, the Lakers, the OKC Thunder, I mean, Dallas is the defending champs. They all have a shot.
No, but I guess here's
what... I'm correcting you.
Here's why I'm asking, because it's a crushing disappointment for Lakers fans if they don't win the championship. They have to at least get to the finals, and they really have to win, right? Otherwise, it's a lost season.
That's what's expected. I mean, you're talking about one of the most – I mean, I'm not a big Laker fan, but you can't deny that they're the most –
But they've been to the finals three out of the last 4 years.
They
and,
are
and
the
anything
most
short of that is a disappointment. But
richly
my question is,
in tradition basketball franchise, along with the Celtics and the history of the sport.
If you're a Clippers fan, though, and you win round one of the NBA playoffs, that's a great season for you compared to what you've had to be used to for the many
years. It's only happened one other time in my lifetime, so I think, yeah, that would be a big deal.
I think so, Bean, but I also think
they expect more this
Clipper
year.
Fans kind of hope, and based on the team, that they could go further than that even.
If they can get by Memphis, it's really anybody's. I mean, and they did a great service to themselves by taking back the home court advantage last night. So that was huge right there. I think if the Clippers lost in the first round this year,
that would be a bummer.
People would consider the season a failure, especially after all the fervor when Chris Paul showed up and the way they played. I think they've had a really great year. They've been up and down, but it's been such a cluster F in the NBA this year. Everybody's been up and down because they play every night. It's kind of been like a sprint for survival. Now we're in the playoffs and we just kind of have to see where it falls. There's not really a favorite. I mean, to me, Miami and Oklahoma City are going to control the NBA for the next 4 or 5 years. But this year's been so weird that it's tough to say that'll really manifest itself into something that we can all enjoy on television.
Petros Papadakis is here from the Petros and Money Show, airing, of course, weekday afternoons on AM 570 and at PetrosandMoney.com. We'll take a break and come back with more right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our good friend Petros Papadakis in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow, by the way, looking ahead, you watch that New Girl show on Fox?
Yeah, Pete? It's pretty funny. That Zooey Deschanel sure is quirky.
She certainly is adorkable.
Yeah.
Max Greenfield, who plays Schmidt on the show, is going to be joining us.
Oh, he's swole. He's skinny ripped. Swole. That guy did a lot of sit-ups.
Yes, he did.
Yeah that guy works a lot of abs.
That's going to be quite a contrast to what's in our studio right now. He'll
be
here 24
hours.
Oh,
why? Because he's a good-looking actor type with gel in his hair, and I'm real? Just because I'm real?
Yeah.
All right.
Also,
yeah,
Beer Mug weighs in, and we'll have more Weenie Roast Pit tickets for you. That's
what is
all
he
tomorrow.
Eating? Beer Mug's like eating like one bean at a time right now. I'm offended by his diet.
His diet is so stupid.
Yeah, it really is, because he's so proud of it, and he wants to tell you his neck. Now your head looks like a lollipop. Your neck is all small. Look at you.
He's not losing that much weight, though, P. That's the funny thing.
He looks like a pencil neck.
Nobody knows less about food and dieting than him. He's like, it's a sandwich, right? It's got bread. That's good for me, right? And we go, yeah, that's good for me.
Yeah, no, there's wheat in there. It's wonderful.
He just doesn't know anything about food.
He does look skinnier, though.
No, nope. He does.
He does.
He does look thinner.
Yeah, it freaks me out.
I don't think so.
P, in our remaining moments, we have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com standing by for the next segment. I have to ask, I know there's no football team in Southern California, but a lot of people follow
teams. Talking about, we got the Trojans, we got the Bruins, we have the Coachella
NFL.
Valley Arabs, we got the Alhambra Moors.
I mean NFL. My question
is, those are actual high school teams.
I know a lot of people follow
Coachella
their
Valley
teams
Arabs.
I love
from
it.
You got the Indio Rajahs, too. Yes, people follow teams from around the country, Bean. I'm with you.
Anything exciting that you want to point out that maybe the media missed on the draft?
No. Well, other than the fact that Roger Goodell, the new commissioner of the NFL, just loves to hug dudes.
He sure does hug a lot of those dudes, like all of them.
Well, hasn't he been the commissioner for a long time?
Well, for a little while, but Paul Tagliabue wouldn't even look at these guys. I mean, Tagliabue wouldn't even spit on him. Welcome to the NFL, dying of fire. I mean, that's what he would say.
Yeah. It seemed like an odd bit of familiarity for a kid you'd never met before in your life, just give him that big old bear hug after they get drafted.
Yeah, it's something like, welcome to our league. And I get it. Football is a physical sport, and football people are very physical, and I come in here trying to touch everybody and slap asses and hug guys.
Handsy.
And people are not into that, and my God, my radio partner's not into it.
No.
I mean, Matt does not want to be touched by anybody at any time, so it's a little awkward. But yeah, football people, they are that way. Now, Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, I think has taken it too far. He wants to be, I mean, he's the face, like David Stern, the commissioner of the NBA. Everything goes through this guy. I mean, does Roger Goodell run the NFL? Absolutely he does. But he's got, I mean, it's a giant corporation. It's
too big for one guy.
Giant cash cow. But he wants to be, you know, oh, Goodell's going to hand this guy. Fine. Goodell's going to suspend this guy. Well, let's see what Goodell says. I mean, he really is a dictator as far as commissioners go, and that's like his style. He wants to, like, I bet you he whispers at these guys, like, if you mess this up, if you get jacked for drugs, I'm going to get you.
I saw him giving tongue to a couple of those guys.
Yeah, it's there were sweet nothings whispered. It was a little odd, but the draft is what it is every year. I mean, there's no exact science to it. These guys get interviewed, they get poked, they get prodded, they get stretched.
Who's Mr. Irrelevant this year, Pete?
I don't even know. Because he's so irrelevant.
Who's that, the last guy?
The last guy picked. But that being said, you know, there's a lot of guys who signed that weren't picked at all. They're going to have 12-year NFL careers. Yeah. And there are guys that are picked, they're going to be out of the league in 3 years.
Is there any sport that is less accurate at predicting the future than football?
No, because like that, and I just snapped my fingers into a microphone, your career can be over. I mean, that happened to me. I mean, I was really good. I felt like I could jump over a car. I was strong and angry and cocky, and I had a nickname for my penis. The next thing you know, all the bones were popping out of the top of my right foot. So, I mean, just in a moment, your career can be over. And football is very situational. I mean, you look at a guy like Tom Brady, we would have no idea who Tom Brady is, or no one would care if he didn't go to the Patriots and just have that kind of path to wherever he ended up football-wise.
You think if he played anywhere else, he would be nobody?
No, well, absolutely.
You do?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, because football is opportunity-based. But it doesn't matter.
Talent. Isn't that transferable?
Talent at quarterback? Did you ever see Tom Brady's draft video? He's got a concave chest. He looks like a bat. He's a Bay Area tool. I mean, I'm serious. Football is very situational, and there are some guys who find themselves in the right situation. Somebody gets hurt. And Tom Brady's just an example for the listeners, but we could go deeper and deeper into all kinds of different things. I mean, I played with guys that never saw the field. Matt Cassel, a guy I played with, never saw the field. Took like 3 meaningful snaps at USC. He's now worth $66 million as a starting quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. So you can never, it's a very inexact science.
What about the Denver Broncos? Let's talk about them. They got rid of Tim Tebow. And
Peyton Manning is their quarterback. You're thinking of the Colts,
yes.
Because Peyton Manning went to Denver, and now Colts have the first pick, Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck is a kid out of Stanford.
Now,
he talks like a Muppet, like this. He's got a beautiful voice at the line of scrimmage. He will play in Super Bowls.
He will.
I believe that.
Okay.
Yeah. I saw that kid when he was a redshirt freshman with his coach, who was then very uncelebrated, Jim Harbaugh,
mm-hmm.
at Stanford, grabbed me by the arm and said, come over here, look at this kid. And I was looking at the kid, and I said, yeah, there's a white kid. See him. And Jim said, that's going to be the first pick of the draft. Right now, he could be.
All right, let me ask you this.
He's absolutely right.
Let me
ask
you
this. The guy's special.
Peyton Manning, great, great, great in Indianapolis. Now he moves teams. You're saying that might not translate at all?
Well, that's different. I mean, we're talking about somebody who's proven his body of work. He's proven to perform at an elite level. I'm talking about people coming into the league.
Oh, I see.
That's what I'm talking about, guys getting drafted.
Had Peyton Manning not gone to Indianapolis,
no, he's an outlier or whatever you would call
him.
But had he gone somewhere else where they didn't have a great O-line, yeah, he could have had his head knocked off 10 years ago, and it would have been a bad situation. You know, Peyton Manning, though, in Denver, we'll have to see. I mean, the first time he gets hit, maybe his head's going to fall off, and he'll never play again.
That'd
be
something. If his head falls off, he won't play
again. I used to have that dream.
Prediction.
I used to have that dream every night before every game.
And your head would fall
off?
That
I was running the ball, and then my head flew off, and everybody cheered wildly. It was like a Roman Empire.
Let me ask you this, Petrus, and this is the voice of Petrus Papadakis on the Kevin Beach Show. Like you couldn't tell. For every Peyton Manning that gets drafted at the top, there's a Ryan Leaf right behind him who flames out in the NFL. I mean, these guys that are so touted and they're up for the Heisman or whatever, and they just go nowhere. What are the chances that we're going to see that with, say, Andrew Luck or with RG3?
I don't think
you'll see guys that are guaranteed to make
Andrew
it?
Luck, I believe, is, just because I believe in his ability and I covered the kid closely for a long time. RG3's not played Robert Griffin III, the Heisman winner out of Baylor, who got picked by Washington. He is not as big of a lock to me. He's a wonderful athlete. I mean, he's an elite sprinter, which almost kind of freaks me out to play quarterback, because when you can run that fast, you get killed.
Right.
The other part is, I don't like the situation he's going into. He's going into a nepotistic, weird situation in D.C. with a creepy owner in Daniel Snyder, a creepier coach with no upper lip that looks like a lizard in Mike Shanahan, and Shanahan protects his son, who's the offensive coordinator. And they went and drafted another pretty good quarterback in Kirk Cousins in later rounds, who's also going to be a rookie, which shows no faith in RG3. I don't like that situation for RG3. Plus, the offense he's coming out of has got a pretty steep learning curve coming into the NFL. So he could flame out. I would say he's more likely to flame out than Andrew Luck, but other people would argue. The truth is, none of us really know. We have to watch these guys go out and play. And I hate to say it, but situation in football, when you've got 11 guys playing at once at any given time, situation dictates a lot of how these guys' careers go. And situation means GMs, means coaches, means, you know, whether or not you got hurt, means somebody got hurt in front of you.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff that goes into it.
All right, in our remaining time, let's get a prediction on baseball. Can the Dodgers keep it up? Can the Angels turn it around?
Well, the Angels are double digit games back. That's the biggest gap. So it doesn't matter. I mean,
9 million games.
10 games is a lot.
At this point in the season,
it's a hell of a lot.
It's
a huge amount, and the Rangers are really good.
They're not in a competitive division. It's a lot. Yeah.
That's right. Okay. See, Bean knows. And the fact that the Rangers have played in back-to-back World Series, you know, they're proven that they can go the long haul and make it. So the Angels are in a horrible – they're not in a bad spot. They're in a horrible panic button spot right now. The Dodgers, on the other hand, well, they have some holes, but their division isn't great, as Bean will tell you. And Matt Kemp is playing – out of his mind, like he never dated Rihanna. So, she wrecked it. Come on, rude boy, come and get it. Come on, rude boy, come on. She did. She screwed. She's a Barbadian temptress. She wrecked him. But he's playing out of control, so he's doing wonderfully.
So once he got her out of his bed, all of a sudden he could focus on seeing that ball right.
That's right. Hey, baseball players are weird, man. I used to live with them, and they are weird people.
But how are they any different than any other athlete?
Because they can stay up all night, first of all.
True.
And they have too much time to think about it. I mean, just, you know, I went 0-for-5, but I was seeing it. It's like, okay, is that good, or are you all right? I mean, where are we going to go tonight? I mean, they really are. They're all mental cases, because you can have the greatest game of your life, and then the next day you have the worst game of your life, and they all live that roller coaster, and they're all weirdos because of it, and they're stupid, baseball players are, because they never went to – most of them just, you know, they get plucked from somewhere, and they hang out in, like, Podunk Bakersfield or someplace and play minor league baseball, $20,000 a year, and all the cheeseburgers you can eat, and listen to Lit. Train.
We're going to say goodbye to Petrus Papadakis here from the Petrus and Money Show. But in our last 30 seconds, now that there's no Bachelor, what's your reality show of choice right now, Pete?
Is there anything, Real Housewives. Right, I go Housewives all day. And
that's
night.
Your which which
Bravo.
Version?
Oh, I go them all. I watch all them Housewives. Yeah, but I hate those women. Oh, I hate them. Oh, I watch Swamp People, too.
Swamp People?
Shoot them! Shoot them, Liz! Shoot them! And me and Ralph were talking. We're excited about the new Bachelorette, and we are very polarized.
I apologize. We're out of time.
About Emily. Ralph really likes her. I don't like her.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Oh, come on, now.
When the jingle sings, we're... Starting at 9 o'clock and all day long, every hour on the hour, you can win tickets for the 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta and backstage passes.
Woohoo!
How about that? Backstage passes.
Pretty nice.
This past weekend was the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I guess I was the only one on the show at home on a Saturday night watching C-SPAN, but I enjoyed it very much. Our old friend Jimmy Kimmel was great, like he is. Here's what he had to say about a certain famous someone in the audience. Then we'll get to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com's take on the event.
As we know now, last year at this dinner, President Obama had his team on the way to kill Osama bin Laden. So who will it be this year? If you're looking for the biggest threat to America right now, she's right there. Her name is Kim Kardashian. She was captured by Greta Van Susteren and brought right to your doorstep. You know, when you took office, the Kardashians had one reality show. Now they have four. This is not a good trend. Right now, Navy SEAL Team 6 is outside the Kardashian compound in Beverly Hills, disguised as the Denver Nuggets, so they can sneak in undetected.
Harvey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
How was the weekend?
You know, it was just an average weekend. I just performed in front of like 1,500 people.
I'm sorry, what?
Are you singing your My Way song all over the nation again?
I did.
How much life is this going to give you, for God's sake?
I went to Pechanga and with Paul Anka, and I had so much fun. It was like, I can't believe I'm doing this. It was so much fun.
You get to be a rock star for like 4 minutes a month, and it's the highlight of your whole life, I bet.
Totally.
That's awesome.
Well,
again, go to iTunes and search for My Way by Harvey Levin. Is it still up? You can still buy it with the proceeds to charity.
Oh, no,
right?
But this was a new improved version.
Oh, what? You rewrite it? You rewrote that piece of crap?
I made it my own.
Sure.
This is My Way 2012. Hey, yeah. What about this White House Correspondents' Dinner? I don't know how much you covered it this weekend, Harvey.
Oh, we
did. How dumb is it that you can invite Lindsay Lohan to come sit at your table? I mean, literally almost anyone goes, right? I mean, any celebrity can be invited by any member of the media and actually get into this thing and be within 100 feet of the president. What's the deal?
There is a freak show factor in this whole thing, and it's, you know, the most outrageous person you could think of inviting. I mean, this is Kim Kardashian's second time being there. In fact, Greta invited her 2 years ago. But, you know, what you do is you find people in pop culture, and especially wonky people in pop culture, and you invite them, and it's all the wow factor. Because the fact is that, you know, who is the person who probably attracted more attention than anybody else in the room?
Well, Kim Kardashian, obviously, but what is Greta?
I think Lindsay.
Oh, you think it was Lindsay?
And can I just say one thing?
Yeah, please.
To prove my point?
Yeah.
You know who else was there?
Who?
George Clooney. Did anybody talk about him?
Well, no, he's not hot.
He got a shout out from Jimmy, but you're right, in terms of the entertainment shows, you're right. They didn't care about him being there.
Nobody covered it.
But what does somebody like Greta Van Susteren, she's on Fox, what does she get? What's the reflected glory she gets of having Kim Kardashian at her table? I don't understand what the advantage is for her or her news organization.
Well, I talked to her, and what she said to me is that she believes she likes success stories and second chances, and that's why she invited Lindsay, so that's what she told me. Mm-hmm. So, look, I mean, I think part of it is you want to come up with something clever and pull it off, and the fact is you know that Greta invited Lindsay. And you know what TV is about. It's about getting noticed and, you know, getting heat. And the fact is that, you know, tell me who George Stephanopoulos invited. Do you have any idea?
No clue. Nope.
Well, there you go. But you know who Greta invited. So right. She kind of won this. And that's what it's about. It's about creating that kind of heat. So in terms of marketing and in terms of doing what Greta needs, you know, wants to do for a show, it kind of worked.
That also probably gives some of the comedians or speakers some of the targets to take aim at, you know?
Yeah, the best
like
was,
Jimmy I mean, did with Kim Kardashian.
Well, did you hear what Jimmy did with Keith Olbermann?
I did not.
Yes,
know.
Wow, it was awesome.
He went crazy on him. And then Keith Olbermann should not have done it, but he started tweeting and he went after Jimmy. He should have just accepted it as a joke, but I don't know.
Well, that's the problem with Keith. He can't do that.
Can I ask, so you watched the whole thing?
Yes, sir.
Did you think Obama was funny?
I thought he was great. I really thought he was hilarious. Why? Did you not?
It just felt very.
And I know it's an easy room. I know the president gets the easy laugh, just like the home team sometimes gets the ref call. I mean, they're there to laugh and support it. I get all that, but I thought it was a very strong round of material this year.
Okay.
You didn't, huh?
I just felt it was a little, like, Tonight Show kind of humor, and I thought he could have, like, really gone off the edge there a little bit and just had, and really made it just hilarious. And, I mean, you know, the Tonight Show's fine, but I just think this is one where you want to just, like, be searing. And there have been times when it's been searing, and it just didn't feel that way to me.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
You said that, though. The room busted up.
What about our friend Jimmy Kimmel, the most famous person to ever work at K-Rock? What did you think of his appearance? I thought he was great.
He was really good. He was really good. Yeah. I got to say.
Speaking of the Kardashians, in our remaining moments here, Harvey, and this is Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, why are Khloe and Lamar pulling the plug on this show? I mean, it has to be an enormous moneymaker for both of them.
It's a moneymaker, and, you know, E! Really still wants it. But he wants to focus on his basketball career because he's been having big problems.
Isn't it too late?
He doesn't think so.
Yeah.
So he's hired trainers, and he wants to really focus on it. I mean, you could kind of, if you look at it from his point of view, where he gets booted from the Lakers, and now the Mavericks, and now, you know, and he had a lousy season. How much shelf life does he have? So if he's going to make it work, he's got to do it now. You may be right, but he doesn't see that. So he's hired these trainers, and he wants to really focus on it. And the reality is, he can't do it with the show. He'll still be on the other show, but I mean, I kind of get it on a level. And also, when Lamar's not playing and they're just kind of like in town, what's the show?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because there is a lot of inherent drama in him trying to fight his way back into the NBA. But unfortunately, most of the people who tune into the Khloe and Lamar show don't care whether he plays basketball or not. They're only there to see the romance and the
That's right.
riches and all that kind of stuff.
And by the way, we got Matt Barnes out at BOA on Friday night. The whole team went to BOA Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked Matt about it. And Matt was saying, yeah, the Lakers would love to have him back. I don't think that's true. I got to say, I think he's burned that bridge. I don't think he's ever going back.
I think he was really stupid the way he left. But
I do too.
I think if he hadn't left that way, they would offer, you know, much less money to have him back.
I think so. He could have done it, but there's no way now after the way he left.
Yeah.
It has to kill him to be at home watching the Lakers win their playoff game last night.
Well, he was an idiot. I mean, let's be honest.
Exactly.
He was an idiot. Pau Gasol, who was not an idiot, is still playing for the team.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right, TMZ.com is where you want to go for all your entertainment stories 24/7. And, of course, check your local listings for all the various TMZ television shows. And when you're in Hollywood, be sure to take your visiting friends on the TMZ bus tour as well. Harvey, thanks so much for coming on, man. Have a great week.
You too, guys.
At this time, every hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph Garman steps in for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on in Hollywood, man?
Because it's Monday, we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Think Like a Man, number one this weekend with $18 million in box office receipts. Pirates, Band of Misfits, came in at number two, $11.4 million. Right behind that was The Lucky One with $11.3 million. Then The Hunger Games and Five-Year Engagement at number five. Safe, The Raven, Chimpanzee, The Three Stooges, and The Cabin in the Woods, rounding out the top ten.
What happened to our boy John Cusack, by the way? I love
the Raven,
him.
Number seven.
And that looked like an intriguing story, too. What's the problem?
I don't know if people are fascinated by the potential murder mysteries of popular authors from the 19th century.
When I saw the trailers, it's like Sherlock Holmesian.
No, I agree.
These are big hits.
I agree. Maybe Robert Downey Jr. has a bigger draw than John Cusack does. But sad news. Sad news for the Raven.
So you went, Bean, and it was good?
I didn't make it. No.
Oh.
Yeah. Bean throws all his virtual support behind people.
I do.
Never any real
I root
support.
For things.
Yeah. He's a rooter.
But he is. I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
All right. Thank you.
Octomom is throwing down the gauntlet. No one will ever take my Octo title, she says. Apparently, there is another woman. This time in Mexico. They're calling her Nueve Mom.
Nine!
Because she is pregnant with nine babies.
Nine!
Allegedly.
That is not a record anyone should try to get.
It's Nueve Mom versus Octo Mom. Ding, ding, in this corner. Let's have them slug it out.
No bueno.
She said that no one will take her record because she says the story's not true.
How does she
what?
Know?
How does she know?
It's a fraud. She calls her a fraud.
It could be, but how does she know?
No one will ever take my Octo title, she said. I'm in the Guinness Book of World Records.
God, she's
for
pathetic.
Being an idiot.
She should shut up and try to save her house, is what she should
listen
do.
Listen to what she says about
clean
Nueve
house.
Mom, though.
All right.
Nueve Mom's a fraud.
She says, and even if she isn't, she shouldn't be making a joke about raising a large family. It's a serious job and takes a lot to care for that many children. She disgusts me, she said.
Oh, man.
Said Octomom on her way to pose for another set of topless pictures or do some more celebrity boxing. I can't remember what she was on her way to do, but...
No bueno.
Take it seriously, damn it. Take it seriously like Patrick Dempsey does. He's McSwarthy on Grey's Anatomy.
Not sure that's the nickname, but...
And he saved a life, Kevin. Another showbiz celebrity saving a life. It was a kid in a Mustang driving past his home in Malibu last week who flipped his car. McGimpy ran into the scene of the crime with a crowbar and saved this kid from the wreckage. Pried him out of the wreckage with a crowbar.
Kid later died of a broken neck.
No, he did not. McPumpy was able to pull him from the wreckage and contact his mother and let her know that her son was in an accident but was going to be okay. Weston Massett was the 17-year-old's name. He was airlifted to a hospital where Patrick Dempsey followed in his car to make sure when he got to the hospital that all was well. Stop rolling your eyes, Kevin.
Come on, he followed in his
car. He did. He went to the hospital after the kid left in the helicopter.
Did he help with surgery to make sure he was okay?
Why do you,
you guys
hate
need me? He scrubbed in.
You hate
me?
Celebrities who are nice.
I don't buy it. He probably walked out and called 911.
No, he didn't. McSlimey says that there was a passenger who was also not injured whatsoever because he had his belt on, so all was well. But just saying.
That guy couldn't help him.
Hey, he was in a car. It was upside down, buckled into a car at the time. What did you want the passenger to do?
Unbuckle and help him?
Oh, Kevin.
Just saying.
Patrick Dempsey should have looked out the window and thought, I could save that guy's life, but the abuse I'm going to take on K-Rock is not worth it. I'm just going to sit here and just be a celebrity.
I'll just watch the blood drain out of his corpse. So I sit here sipping a margarita.
Jumped in his car and he drove to the hospital.
He did. He wanted to make sure the kid was okay.
And he held the grandmother for what seemed like days.
He made love to the grandmother. That's what I mean.
Why does Kevin hate? Have we figured that one out yet?
You guys don't get the idea sometimes that these celebrity saved alive stories are exaggerated a little.
I think it's entirely possible that that's true, but I also think it's more likely that the guy wrecked his car in front of his house. He went out and helped. What's wrong with that?
The victim himself, the 17-year-old, said he was pulled out of the car, and when he looked up, he saw it was Patrick Dempsey. It was the guy who was helping him. Is he making it up too, Kevin?
That's bullshit.
Why does Kevin hate
nice people?
Saving lives.
Kim Kardashian wants a sitcom.
Give it to her. She gets whatever she wants.
No, she should not.
She should not. That's what I meant.
She said she wants a situation comedy.
Where she's the star and what?
Yes.
I'm
she wants
sure.
to be the star That's of a it? Half-hour comedy. She said it's something she wants to do just for her. Great. Then just do it for you and don't put it on television. You can watch it in your house.
It does involve hundreds of other people, Kim.
Hey, we're going to have your little friend Jack Burdett on the show tomorrow, Ralph,
yes.
Who has put her in two sitcoms already.
He had nothing to do with that.
Well, he had her on his little Tim Allen show and then on 30 Rock last week, so he's encouraging her acting bug.
He was off of the Tim Allen show, Last Man Standing, which he created before they put her on that, so that he wasn't responsible for that one.
All right, how about last Thursday night when Kim Kardashian showed up?
I think that's Tina Fey's fault.
I'm just saying, somebody's encouraging Kim Kardashian to do comedy, and it's a bad trend.
Well, we'll find out from him.
That cannot happen.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Diana Agron of Glee is 26 years old. Kirsten Dunst turns 30 years old. Kunal Nayar, who plays Raj on The Big Bang Theory, he's 31 years old. Johnny Galecki, also from that show, is 37. Akon's 39. Adrian Pasdar is 47. Willie Nelson celebrates his 79th birthday. And actress Cloris Leachman is 86 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This week is the week of the sold-out 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta. It's happening this Saturday, Cinco de Mayo, at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. You know we are giving away tickets here at K-Rock all day long, every hour on the hour. And this year, Kevin, backstage passes and backstage at the Weenie Roast is clothing optional for 2012. Did you hear about that?
What?
Clothing optional, yeah. So if that sounds good to you, your chance to win with our friend Kat Corbett is coming up in about 20 minutes and then every hour on the top of the hour all day long here on good old K-Rock. Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Let's talk about showbiz news. Monday morning means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Number one again this weekend, Think Like a Man. Steve Harvey's Think Like a Man. You can act like a woman, Kevin, but you better think like a man. Snap.
Wow, I just I can't imagine going to see that movie.
Pirates, Band of Misfits, the animated film from the makers of Wallace and Gromit, came in at number two with $11.4 million in its debut weekend. The Lucky One was third, The Hunger Games, The Five-Year Engagement. Safe was sixth, The Raven, the Edgar Allan Poe mystery, was seventh, Chimpanzee, The Three Stooges, and The Cabin in the Woods rounded out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Good news today. Chloe and Lamar have announced they are pulling the plug on their TV series.
How about that?
Great.
The show's second season will be its last, according to reps for both Chloe and Lamar, because Lamar wants to focus on his NBA career.
On his what?
Why so soon?
Yeah.
Lamar was relegated to the Mavericks' inactive list after putting up career low numbers this season, so he thinks maybe it's time to focus on basketball and less on being a Kardashian and being on television.
Less weed as well.
That might help.
How old is Lamar? Does anyone know off the top of their head?
I don't.
I think he's young enough that he should still be playing in the NBA, sure. I'll tell you that.
For a guy who was winning championships a couple of years ago, he shouldn't be done, right?
No.
Yeah. While we're talking about the Kardashians, Kimye, as they're calling Kim and Kanye now. That's their media tag, God. Kevin. You may have missed that last week. They, of course, jetted from New York City to Washington, D.C., where she showed up for the White House Correspondents' Dinner. A lot of
That's
shots.
Bullshit.
A lot of shots were taken at Kim during the Correspondents' Dinner, which was nice.
Sure.
Yeah. Kanye wasn't invited, by the way. How pissed off must he have been that Kim...
The president thinks he's a jackass, right?
Kim went to that event, and Kanye was on the outside looking in.
That's
that
awesome.
Must have killed him. But afterwards, they went to New York City and saw Wicked and had ice cream. So they're enjoying their very public romance, making sure everyone sees them come and go from every possible event.
Why is she famous anyway?
Sex tape. While we're talking about Kardashian, photo they're saying is that's of her in the kitchen cracking those eggs into a frying pan naked. Have you seen the photo?
No.
Yes. Out on the internet this weekend.
Is it good?
Is it her?
It's not her, yeah.
Oh.
It is not her.
Is it good?
You can pretty much tell it's not her just by looking at it, but it has been confirmed that it is someone else. It's a very attractive young lady who's naked making eggs, but it's not Kim, although she has Kim's ass, that's for sure.
you saw the other photo that is her that came out either Friday or over the weekend, Ralph, which was an outtake from her Playboy shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And that was real good.
Yeah, it was released
nothing wrong with that.
In Mexico or Italy or something. They released those pictures. Yeah, they were extra shots from her Playboy
Sweet.
Layout. So it's pretty strong. NBC has announced it is taking Best Friends Forever off the air. Oh, no, don't take my Best Friends Forever. Loved that.
I didn't know that was on.
No. It's been on for four episodes, and apparently the ratings were so low. That
it was terrible. NBC I watched it once.
Of course, Lisa saw it.
Well,
Lisa
I have
loves
to test
bad
everything
television.
Out.
No, you don't. I can tell from a million miles away that show was crap.
But
I can tell.
Now I can tell you definitively.
But we could have told you before you wasted your 30 minutes.
But now you know for sure.
I
no,
know
we knew for sure.
I knew already before.
You did not know.
I did, absolutely.
But now
I knew.
I've helped you know.
You haven't helped me.
Now we all know.
No, we don't.
And you're welcome.
Did not say thank you.
Didn't say thank you, don't mean thank
My
you.
My pleasure.
She doesn't listen to a thing we say.
That isn't good for you.
More NBC news. Will Ferrell will be heading back to Saturday Night Live.
Fantastic.
He'll be guest hosting again on the May 12th show with musical guest Usher. You can check that out this week.
All in Spanish, though.
No. It'll be in English.
Telemundo.
You know, it'll be a good time for everyone who speaks English. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Cloris Leachman, who's very funny over there on Raising Hope on Fox. She's 86 years old today.
86.
She won an Oscar at one point, didn't she, Ralph?
For Last Picture Show, yeah.
Yeah.
She's great.
Boy, she's been in show business a long time.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
She's not doing as well as she used to be. But.
She played the call girl that Paul Newman sleeps with in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. I think that was 1969, I think she was in that film. So she's been around for a while. 69.
Kevin has to hate her so much.
Willie Nelson, 79 years old today. Actor Adrian Pasdar from Heroes. He was the one who could fly around, remember? The flying congressman.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
47 years old. Akon is 39. Johnny Galecki from Big Bang Theory is 37. His co-star, Kunal Nayar, is 31 years old. Kirsten Dunst is 30 years old. Kunal Nayar plays Raj on Big Bang Theory.
Oh, sorry. I thought that was the hot chick. Sorry.
I don't know why you want to have sex with the Indian kid from Big Bang Theory.
He loves it.
Who am I
Bean
to judge? Who am I to judge?
Bean loves that
That's
guy.
All I'm saying. Kirsten Dunst is 30 years old today, and Diana Agron, from Glee is 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Pete, if you want to give that guy a bell, you just go right on ahead and give him a bell.
I was confused as to which actor.
But I'm saying it's okay.
No,
it's all okay. If that's the way you want to go, ring the bell.
Appreciate your modern approach.
Let's talk about tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean show. We have Max Greenfield in the studio. He plays Schmidt.
Yes, he's the best.
On New Girl.
So funny on that show.
He is the best, yeah. Jack Burdett, one of the writers from 30 Rock on the live show that they did last week. We have comedian Eddie Izzard on the program tomorrow.
Oh, love him so much.
We have Relationship Revenge. I don't know if you heard the story today, but the dude that was dating a dentist and then broke her heart and then went to her for some dental work. And he woke up.
He got some dental work.
He woke up without any teeth.
Yay!
So
that's going to be no one's going to top that.
No,
that's the best relationship revenge I've ever heard.
But we'll talk relationship revenge tomorrow as well. Sal Masekela will be on the program telling us about the new format of the X Games, which seems rather confusing. So we'll get all that straightened out. And we've got your tickets for the 20th annual K Rock Weenie Roast E Fiesta and backstage passes coming up tomorrow morning on an all new Kevin and.